Northville Metropolitan Park District meeting to order. We'll begin with the reading of the mission and vision. The Tuckwillipville Metropolitan Park District mission statement is to provide a welcoming public aquatics facility managed in a fiscally responsible manner with a focus on safety. We carry out this mission with a board and staff who are compassionate, inclusive, and responsive to the needs of our diverse community, working to foster positive and lifelong experiences with aquatic environments. The TPMPD vision statement, contributing to the quality of life for our community and for future generations through welcoming, fun, safe, and positive aquatic experiences at the Tuckwillip Pool. Okay, would you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance? Vanessa, would you start the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. 601, roll call. Commissioner Frangello Anderson.
Present.
Commissioner Zapital.
Present.
Commissioner Aaron Shippen.
Present.
Commissioner Christine Newfer.
Present.
Commissioner Gengler is present. We also have Michelle, our Director of Aquatics Operations, and Richard, our District Administrator, as well as Dave Poopy from the public. All right, I would accept a motion to approve the agenda.
Commissioner Frangello Anderson makes a motion to approve the agenda.
I have a comment. We have a possible resolution to add to the agenda that came by way of last minute information.
We're going to be discussing that in miscellaneous, and we're not going to actually, we don't need to have a resolution because our current resolution covers it, but we will discuss in miscellaneous. Okay, thank you. So, I'm sorry.
Commissioner Frangello Anderson makes a motion to approve the agenda.
Commissioner Shipman seconds.
Excellent. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So approved. Okay, I now accept a motion to approve vouchers.
Commissioner Zapital makes a motion to approve the vouchers.
Commissioner Newfer seconds that motion.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, I call the question to vote. All those in favor of approving the vouchers say aye.
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 Opposed? Passed. All right. Moving on to Section 6 reports at 6:03.
Hold on.
What?
No, we got minutes.
Oh, sorry. Guess we have to approve the minutes. Oh, gosh, I'm like all over the place. All right. Okay. Oh, and we have to recognize the employee of the month. I'm like on the I'm all done with all that. Okay, so recognition of the employee of the month. Michelle?
Employee of the month is Tanya Havens. She started with us on the last of April. And so for her very first month, she was employee of the month. She's an amazing lady from Foster High School. I got her from the Foster High School swim class.
Yay.
And she is an amazing young lady. Obviously, she has shone already in the 1 month that she's been here. She's a really awesome young lady and stuff. She's really worked hard and teaches some lessons for us and just took a lifeguarding class and passed, so she'll be lifeguarding and she wants to, her mom works at the Foster High School.
Very nice. Okay, and we're going to be passing around a card congratulating her. I'm very happy. Thank you. All right. citizens' comments. I don't see a form. Dave, did you have any comments? Not at this point. Okay. All right. Well, we approved the. So I'll take a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion.
of the Board of Commissioners, regular meeting May 14th.
Commissioner Zaplin makes a motion to approve the minutes.
Commissioner Shipman seconds.
All right, discussion?
Yes.
Do you have discussion?
Yes.
Okay, Commissioner Zaplin, discuss.
On page 7 in the social media, old business social media policy, I just wanted to add a line, seeing as it was fairly detailed, just indicating that I'd presented a social media policy to the board and the staff. So my suggestion for the language is, Commissioner Zaptal indicated, in addition to the employee handbook guidelines, the necessity of a district social media policy, and handed out a draft for review by commissioners and staff for consideration on a future agenda. Because there wasn't any notation about that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
If it's an amendment, it needs to be seconded.
This is Commissioner Newber, I would second that.
Well, a motion hasn't been made to amend.
I make a motion.
You make a motion to amend your, okay, and Commissioner Newfer seconded it. Okay, any further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of the motion to amend the minutes with the comment per Commissioner Zaffel, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. And the motion, and I'm waiting for a motion for the meeting minutes?
That was already done.
Okay, so do we have any further discussion on that? Seeing none. All those in favor of passing the minutes, the motion to approve the minutes from the last regular meeting, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? None. All right, approved. And now? Why can't we just do this all together? Can we, would somebody like to make a motion to approve vouchers?
I thought we did.
Did we already do that?
We did,
I did vouchers. I was like, you just
way
jumped
ahead.
You jumped a voucher.
All right.
Wait,
please forgive me.
I didn't get the who moved and who seconded.
So vouchers was, I moved it, Christine seconded.
And everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
And everybody said yes?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so now I believe we are at reports. At 6:08. Commissioner reports. Commissioner Newfer.
Reports?
Yes.
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Commissioner Shipman.
Attended the TPAC meeting where we had quite lengthy discussion on going over this fully the weight of the people for drawing up policies for the surveillance camera. And then went to the events and then the treats. Thank you for the one for the treat.
You're welcome. Commissioner Zaffidel.
Commissioner Zaffidel. Finance Committee meeting on May 23rd, 2018. I'll report about that later. The audit we received, Richard got an email. We followed up with our auditor to see where we are. And there's apparently only one item to finish that is not anticipated to take much time. So waiting with bated breath. But so that's where we are on an audit. There's nothing outstanding, nothing that we are in concern at this point. I attended the pirate event, which was always lots of fun, and a trended retreat. Thank you, Board President. It was great to get the input from the superintendent and the mayor. It's great to have all those different views.
Commissioner Frangello Anderson.
I also attended TPAC where we made some good headway with the surveillance policy that TPAC put together. Also attended the Finance Committee on the 23rd. And excellent retreat. Loved, no, it was awesome having Dr. Barry and to get their perspective on Fords and to see it the other side. So thank you. And
okay.
My report.
I was gone at the last meeting, and I hear that our clerk, Commissioner Aaron Shipman, did a fabulous job.
Yep.
So thank you so much, Commissioner Shipman. I also went to the Pirate event, which was so much fun. It was great to see so much engagement. Our district administrator had a very fun game that I got to play, and had lots of kids over looking at things and learning about the pirates. And we also have one of our assistant managers who really enjoys being a pirate, who was there and was a pirate, and staff seemed to have a good time, and I really enjoyed that. And then the retreat, which seems like it was so long ago now, but and actually following up from the retreat, Dr. Berry has offered to come to chat with us again. We need to get penciled in on her schedule if we would like that. And I later learned that Dr. Berry actually, as part of her consulting business before she, when she was working in Michigan, she actually worked with boards. So, isn't that nice? Okay, and that is the end of my report. Okay, and so now we'll move on to reports, the finance reports, which I believe are included in your packet. And are we talking, the finance committee is talking on new business A, or do you want to talk now?
Oh, I put it in with this under reports.
Okay.
It's included as part of the report. So I can talk about that. No, we won't be talking about financial policy until 8 a.m.
Right.
Okay. So we had our finance meeting, which is always fun and games. The highlights of what occurred at the May 23rd finance meeting was we have approved a journal entry in QuickBooks to reallocate brochure design work for the grant to appropriate to the appropriate line item. We approved an over budget expenditure and membership dues category for the South Sound Chamber membership if deemed necessary by the board president. Note that to offset that as expense, the district administrative trainings would be planned to be under budgeted by that amount. We approved an over-budget expenditure in the BO's Board of Commissioners of office supplies for frames and photos for the commissioners. And a note to that, to offset that expense, the BOC transcription services would be under budget accordingly. Thank you, Commissioner Anderson, for finding that one. The district administrator was tasked to create a small and attractive asset log in accordance with financial policy 5x5. And Commissioners Frangiello, Anderson, and Zapatil were tasked with creating prevailing wage contracts for specific identified recurring and on-call type companies. Note that task was subsequently reassigned to the district administrator. So what that is all scheduled, recurring, and on-call work is expected to be able to be handled under the TPMPD attorney-provided prevailing wage contracts, hopefully before July 1st-ish, or around there. So the idea is that we should be able to pull ourselves into compliance with all of that. As just a reminder, our attorney had created prevailing wage contracts for us to use as boilerplate and modify as we need to for our use. So district administrator is working on that. We approved recommending policy 511, which is the revenue one. It's not in this packet, won't be coming until, if the board president deems it necessary, July. That's where it's scheduled, because it goes to TPAC first and gives them time to give feedback. Our next meeting is June the 18th at 5 p.m., and it's going to be an initial budget discussion before the preliminary, when we get serious about budget. It'll be just the touch bases on budget, and we are going to continue with our riveting financial policy reviews.
Commissioner Newfer, which policy is 511?
So 511 is revenue.
Revenue
policy. So that will be in the July meeting. And tentatively, just so you know, it just changes each month depending on how much we can get through. This next meeting that we're going to be doing, which would go on to the August one, will be definitely 545, which is budget changes. It's a very short policy that was redlined before. Possibly 540, which is a very short one also, which is, I think, reimbursements and refunds, it's just specifically dealing with those, and there is a chance we might be, no, I don't have it, never mind. And those are the two, I was a little more optimistic earlier today, and then I became realistic later in the day. So at least that's where I am today. But tomorrow morning when I send out stuff to Finance Committee, I might be back in an optimistic mood. So those are where we're going. The one that we are holding off, although it's a red line's being done already, it's a 510 is like the master policy, and we decided it probably makes more sense to do that at the end, because last time we tried at the beginning and we kept making tweaks to it. So that seemed to make more sense. So that's a long one. So, I mean, we're going to be out, depending on how much work the budget is going to take this year, we're going to be probably the end of the year before we're thinking about wrapping it up. Also with finance, you will find on page... Yes, 31, the mid-year budget review. And that's in policy, I believe it's 510, we have a process whereby midway through the year, the board is apprised of our situation regarding where we are on budget. Now keep in mind, it is challenging to do it in the June meeting because our numbers are only good as of the end of April. But it is always good to take a look and see if there's anything crazy that's happening. And we are going to be looking at that in our policies to maybe push it one more month to get another good month in there. But for right now, we're following policy and doing it in June. I sent that out. Is there any questions on it? Or does anyone need more information on anything? I'm just going to be pretty frank. No, because we have certain things like the audit that were expensed this year, that were not expensed last year. So as far as are we going to take in more money than we expense at the year to year, probably not. However, I'm looking at swim lessons, and swim lessons are fantastic. So there's, and also I'm being very conservative in this report because we also probably will be more in property taxes. So if everything aligns, we may end up net zero. Keep in mind last year we ended up with a 70,000 surplus. So we have that cushion from last year of savings or deferred expenses also. So like example, in the example of the meeting sites that were paid last year and the audit that wasn't paid last year. That's why we realized more savings last year. So we can, our budget doesn't, and this is one thing that's important to know. We don't have to do budget amendments because when we write our budget, it's for the total amount of our budget, our expenses, plus the amount we have in our bank account. That way, you're not having to panic and try and do budget amendments if you are just a little bit over. So that's done purposefully. Yeah, that was that was one we anticipated this year. We just didn't get it budgeted correctly. The other ones were actually items that we should have been expensed out in 2017.
On page 32, line item 9, mm-hmm. is where should the comma actually be?
I have no idea.
In the number
is it 30,000 or 3,000?
Oh, sorry, 30,000. Yeah. No, 3,000. No, 3,000, not 30,000. Thank you. That would be a problem. Thank you for clarifying that. And there's also, in that water thing, there's also opportunities to start saving too when we get our mats, because there's a lot of evaporation that happens. Actually, that's the biggest savings is, one of your biggest savings is evaporation.
One of the biggest savings.
Of the pool cover is water. And I was just, because there is we didn't really get a conclusive answer from the district as to why we're spending more this year than the previous year.
Well, I from what I understand, Michelle, the Water District is still doing some research on that.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
They came out and put some kind of satellite thing on there where they're watching it at night when there's a big hole.
Do we have any idea when they're going to give us any information? Yes. Commissioner Zapadil is offering to do the note. Okay.
I'll make a note to call them tomorrow.
And has there, I apologize, I don't recall what the status is of pool cover replacement options.
So that was discussed in Finance Committee, I'll let Michelle, first.
I told them I'll let them know about the next finance meeting.
Okay.
The prices, which already have been ready, just presenting to the finance committee.
I think it was July and August was the.
Or purchasing them.
Okay.
Right? Purchasing her.
I thought you were going to look into options this month and then present to us July, August, but I was. However.
I would encourage our director of aquatics operation to take advantage of the time to do some investigation before committing to present.
Oh, I'm already done.
Oh, all right, well then.
Okay.
Okay, anything further from the Finance Committee? Any questions? Thank you very much, Finance Committee, for your continued excellent work. All right, it is 6:22. I am ready to hear from the director of aquatic operations.
Are we still on the budget part?
Oh.
I've got one question about the budget report. Is this the appropriate time for that?
Okay, yeah. No, go ahead.
On page 23, on lines 216, 217, 220, and 221, those are highlighted in yellow. Can somebody give me an explanation as to why they're highlighted in yellow? Those seem to be normal and reoccurring. Is there a special notification? Those, the bridge loan and the bond loan.
Dave, I think that's just how Chris. I'm not sure why our bookkeeper has it in yellow. There's nothing for anyone to.
Yeah. Because it seems normal. And
yeah. No, it is normal and recurring.
Okay. That was the only question I had.
Okay. All right. Great. So 6:23. Director of Aquatic Operation.
So the pool is very, very, very busy, which is great. Thinking of just all the stuff in there, just how busy it is. It's really robust and seeing, which is great. We did a lot of training the month of May. So we have 7 swim instructors in the water currently right now teaching classes. We didn't have 7 last month because they were training. So huge difference from last year. In time. Now we're doing 7.
Awesome.
Pretty proud of that number. Let's see. We had a lifeguarding class in June. They just finished up last weekend. We had 10 people in class. Not all of them wanted to shoot. Well, some of them had jobs other places, which is okay. We hired one from that class so far. A few others were 15. Staff, I mean, we are still hiring for the summer, so the postings are still up. So far as the program goes, we're doing really well. Maintenance report, we just switched over to the wood plane on May 21st. It was a little bit of a rough day right at first, but that was to be expected, but to get chemicals out. And the new controller, we had some trouble with it at first. But it's all fine now. It's working in my clockwork, which is awesome. It makes my job a lot easier because I was having to babysit it pretty heavily the first week. We have one pool ladder that's broken. Actually, the phone call I got in the bathroom while I was talking to Vanessa was working, so they were trying to find the correct piece that holds the ladder into the ground.
Which ladder?
It's over near the mats. With a mattress store.
Yeah.
And cool stuff. The theft issues are slowly getting better. Although over the weekend, the staff found a wallet in the sandy sack department beside the toilet and on the men's side, family side. And thankfully, it wasn't a wallet stolen from someone at the pool. It was stolen from someone's house across the street.
Oh.
And they brought it over and disposed of it into our sandy sack department. So they were called, and what was left in the wallet was given back to them. We did have a lockdown on May 18th. Since then, I've met with the resource officer at Foster. He came over, the mayor actually got involved and was like, I'm going to make sure you guys get the proper training that you need. So the resource officer came over and went through with me what to do with the lockdowns and that kind of thing. And we absolutely should have been a lockdown for sure. And it was that particular day, it was some neighbors across the street that were having a dispute, guns were involved, and the police, they took off running when the police arrived, and so they chased them and they went onto school property or something, is what it was. So there was an armed person on school property. So in the process of finishing up writing how we're going to proceed when we have a lockdown, because we have students in the building a good part of the day, plus we should stay for our patrons. Staff updates, still looking for a maintenance person. Thanks to Dave for helping. We interviewed a couple people. I have a couple more that we'll be interviewing soon. Kristen starts Wednesday, so an assistant manager. She's going to oversee marketing and the events and some other days I'm going to give her. Had a lifeguarding service. We're teaching another WSI class because we have six newers and instructors. We had six go through the last one. We have six going through another one this week and next week for our summer people. But other than that, just enjoying summer staff schedules. A lot of the kids, which is great, they are taking camps and mission trips, and like they're just extremely busy children that have working for me. So just summer schedule is quite a puzzle. So going on to reports, you'll see that in May, we gave 59 kids scholarship under the Kaiser and 9 under the Tupola. So we have 59 kids as part of the Kaiser Permanente scholarship in swim lessons. It says right in the pie chart, 59 patrons. You guys see that? Colorful chart. And that colorful chart is adding colors.
So we have used up for the swim lesson approximately $3,000.
Just in that month.
Just that month.
Oh.
So we are getting very, we're towards the end of our Kaiser scholarship money.
Okay.
We, as of tomorrow, we're not taking any more applications for scholarships. So it's very sad.
But it's a good thing, it's though, too. It's a good set. Yeah, exactly.
But we still have. So just to be clear, we still have a big chunk of the Tukwila resident scholarships.
Yes, as you'll see, there's a ton of kids that are not
Right.
For the Tukwila resident.
And
can we move?
Yeah, at this point, we can't move retroactively these ones that have already been processed as a Kaiser, the Tukwila kids, and process them as a Tukwila. Well, I'm not sure if you process whether retroactively it makes sense, but it seems like there's an opportunity.
You mean the ones who live in Tukwila?
The ones who were processed here, that 31%.
Yes, we have their same information they give us. They just have to do another application. But the same, so the Tukwila residents that we have, they're getting scholarship. This is for the 123 sharp 123 classes, and they're getting 100%. So we can easily move them over, yes, the 31%, but the rest of them are not going to get it.
Correct. Correct.
Well, the rest of them are outside of Tukwila, so they would not qualify
for
Tukwila scholarship. I'm curious why
it was processed that way.
We took any Tukwila residents in the Kaiser.
Because the Tukwila resident scholarship that we have, they end up having to pay something.
It's not 100%.
Well, no, the first one's 100%, right? And then the subsequent ones, it's
so the first one's 100, the second 75, and all the rest are 50%.
So these are more for second
and third.
And third times. They've already gone through the Tukwila scholarship.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So now
that's the problem when you're good. You've got these problems.
Yeah. I wish I had money. Well, I just keep going. Anyway.
Kaiser will see this as a really good thing.
Yes, that was. So Kristen likes grants, and you better believe I'm going to be helping her do that first thing.
Okay.
So, we have a junior librarian class in July, and we saved aside some money for that to cover it 100%.
Michelle, the commissioner's office, I saw on the brochure that it said that there's no cost for anyone. On that, is it looked at least the way that I read it for that junior lifeguard. And I'm curious, is it cost is free thanks to Kaiser Permanente? But
if they qualify under the scholarship.
So how much would the cost be if they didn't? Or are you planning?
We never had a junior lifeguard class. The cost, I'm going to say $150. It's a 2-week camp from 9 to 12. It's whatever cost, because you guys, it's not like we have a preset cost for the regular lifeguard. Junior lifeguarding, you guys have never offered that, and I was, so.
I was just, I guess that was my, I was wondering if you were planning to, if there was enough funds left over, if it would cover, say, all 10 participants, if they happened to all qualify, would that completely cover it? But if, say, you had some kids who did not qualify and wanted to pay price, then full price, then some of those funds could go back to the swim lessons. Because, I mean, you're only doing one, so that's the only opportunity to use it there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I plan on doing another one, but, you know, yeah.
Oh, you had planned on doing another junior lifeguarding class?
Like, yes, before the end of summer. Possibly.
Well, it wouldn't be in the brochure, then.
Well, I was going to do another one if this one...
If it was possibly sold out?
Yeah, if it did really well.
Frangelo Anderson. So with Kristen taking on the marketing, which is awesome, I'm very happy, there was discussion at one point about marketing meetings being at the pool, and I know there's one this Saturday, so is it at the pool or is it at the TCC?
It's going to be at the community center.
It is going to be at the community center.
Okay. And going forward, we may change that. But
this one is going to stay that way. And then the only other question I had, and it just, and it might just be the way the numbers followed during the month, was on the financial portion. Under the facility rental, seems like we've really, did we lose somebody big who was renting from us? I mean, in 2017, we were at $22,000.
Yeah, I think
now we're like a
there was one. It was that was the back big payment.
I hate that payment there. But then in 2018, it was $9,000, and we're at $4,000.
No, 9,000. Then May 2017-18 is 47 versus 39.
Okay,
so we still lost money.
Yeah, we're still less.
Right. That's what I was just making a point is, didn't lose any rentals?
No, we didn't lose anybody. No.
Okay.
Our people just paying.
Yeah, the long term that we have right now is just CAT. So the long term that, I know that was all payments that were received that should have been received in 16. So that's,
yeah, I know that's 22, that's really
right.
Odd.
That's the, yes.
I think that we're through. As soon as I took over, I was chasing money.
Right.
Because we had accounts that were unbelievably past due. Right. And so I started going through all the accounts and I'm like, oh my God. So we started sending out invoices and the Alaska pilots and Stewart Airlines stewards, they were all past due from the year before. And here I am, May of 17, I'm chasing money from 16.
Right.
So we're not chasing money anymore.
So this is more reflective of what our...
So just watching it going forward would be more in line. It was just a question. So, and I appreciate that.
We might have got a few more stragglers
Does Kennedy still rent?
Kennedy doesn't start back up until fall.
But they do in the fall. They are still using our pool.
They hear the fall all the way to February.
Okay. Thank you.
Kennedy and Foster. Foster's swim team starts
August.
I think it's next week. Because they have a week where they're allowed to practice, and they have dead weeks also, or at least I think they do year to do that stuff from them. But they're practicing every day after school for a week. I believe it's the week of the 18th. I don't know if that's next week or not. But anyway, that week, and then they're practicing every Tuesday, Thursday, all summer long in the mornings from 8 to 9.
Good.
Foster's got community health. Is this a summer school program?
This is their girls' high school swim team, and they practice in the summer. And Foster pays for their time in the pool.
That actually, Commissioner Zapdala, I actually have, that leads right to one of my questions. I didn't check it off last time, but school's all signed up for next year, agreements, time's all signed, and the stuff's all filled out. And
yes.
We're good.
So do you have that?
I can't remember.
Okay.
You might have.
So, yes, to send it over, but he just put time. The problem is he just gave me times that they're using the pool.
None.
But he didn't tell me if he wanted left or not. This is what I'm going to do.
Right.
So I just haven't heard about
it. But you've got the bulk of it taken care of. You just, yeah, okay.
As far as knowing if we're responsible for teaching in class yet, I don't know. Even though we should.
And I had a question on here. Just because the brochure's coming up in beginning of July, are there any updates planned or anticipated for the fall schedule?
Yes, I have updates. When did you say it was going to be July
11th? Beginning of July.
July
11th. 11th. Thank you. I asked Jerry too. I did email Jean this morning and say, we got to get trucking on this. So I have a program meeting, which is the 27th.
Oh, there is one?
There has just agreed on. Program meets June 27th at 5:30, right? Or 6 or whatever.
7:30.
We just decided 5:30.
Okay.
I'm hoping that we'll have a rough draft. I'll have a rough draft ready for hiring done.
Okay, so this is Commissioner Gangler. Richard, did you have a note that there's a programming meeting on June 27th at 5:30.
We just decided, so.
Okay, so Richard, you don't know that, so I'm letting you know that they just decided that there's going to be a programming meeting on June 27th at 5:30, and that we want it to be noticed.
And that'll be the last thing that I can notice because I'm leaving on the 26th. I'll notice this on the 25th.
Okay. Questions for the director?
Just a follow-up. Sorry, Dave. I've got one more thing. Just want to keep it in the forefront facility maintenance log.
What?
Just to keep it in the forefront, creation of a facility maintenance log.
Yes, that's what I gave Ellen. Is that I asked Kim to research that, and it's taken several weeks for him to finish it.
Good. But we're moving. Yeah. Nice to see. Thank you.
But what he researched was three sites and stuff that we have to pay for. I told him to give me at least five, and I was just given it to him today, so we're moving forward.
On that subject, I'll offer to volunteer with whoever's trying to create that matrix because that is something that I'm an expert at.
Okay.
So, very nice.
Thank you.
So we will.
We have you on tape. We have you on tape, Mr. Pookie.
It'll have me and you.
The district would benefit greatly from that because that needs to be as good as it can and has to be all encompassing so that it eliminates the surprises that you're going
through.
Okay.
Dave has a question.
I've got two questions.
Go ahead.
Products. Manager, the first one is on the McKinstry visit when they came out with the factory representative. Was there any way to transfer that knowledge of what transpired via video or something like that, or capture that information, or have somebody that was knowledgeable about what was being, the subject matter that was being spoken on, so that we could get a gleaning of what exactly was transpiring, so we're not left in the dark as to what they decided and came up with.
The factory rep came with two other representatives from McKinney Street, and then the only other, so...
Nobody from the pool was...
Jim was there. Okay. But what happened that day was they told me they were coming, but they never responded back to me and tell me what time they were coming. So when they finally responded back to me, it was 7:40, they told me they were coming at 8, and it didn't give me enough time to get there. I jumped in my car, and it takes me over an hour to get there. But, so by the time I got there, they already figured it out. I think that was the day that I saw you, and we were talking, anyway, out in the parking lot. But,
So, Michelle, is there any way we can request a more detailed write-up on the factory reps?
Well, they did a huge detail write-up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, if I had been there,
I wouldn't have understood what they were saying to you that much. You can't have understood.
I wouldn't have understood it.
I think you're probably in the pool. But anyway, no.
Okay, on the second question, so it's a missed opportunity, it's unfortunate, and it's our primary concern. On the second question I had on the Kaiser Permanente scholarships, I know we're tracking a lot of different information on the usage of these things. Is there a planned presentation that we're going to compile present to them on the success of the program, and is there maybe a planned event where those that signed up, I'm going to call them students, that completed the program or successfully, went through it and can demonstrate the things that they know now that they didn't know before? Is there any kind of an opportunity to do that for the folks that at Kaiser Permanente that granted us that money so that we can show them that got good bang for their buck and that we were successful in implementing the endeavor and that we think it's a value-added activity that we'd like to continue if there's any opportunity in the future?
So we are presenting them with lots of information, not only just statistics that we're compiling right now, but also stories, like people's stories. But we don't have a plan to bend over.
And you'd have to ask all the participants in the program, too, if they would like to do it, because it'd be strictly voluntary on
right, yeah.
But I would think that anybody that used the opportunity and gained valuable knowledge and skills from that would be more than willing to want to come and show what they learned.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We have to give them information by December, which they'll probably get a lot sooner.
Michelle, one thing, and I appreciate Dave's comments, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
One thing that it might be helpful, especially for posterity and for your television, is if any of the participants are interested in either telling their story on video or just, saying thank you, Kaiser. And we could, you could put that up on the video, but you could also send it to Kaiser and they could send it to their people. And that would be, something that would,
form some way to give back.
Yeah.
Especially. It's my loss.
With some faces and voices, I think it makes a huge impact versus, just the great statistics, which we have to give them as well. Okay. Yes, sir.
Commissioner, one on that. Is there a possibility to put together a extra swim time for, send an invite for all the participants that got the scholarships, and then that way we can try and get everybody in at one time to do one big picture of everybody to send?
Yeah, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, maybe just an hour at
maybe during, or even, it could even be during open swim time. You can come and swim for free.
Yeah.
On this particular day, so that way we can try and get everybody we can at one time. Because I know it's so much, it's like multiple days, multiple classes throughout the day. So.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I can invite them to an event.
Well, when is that big swim lesson? Is that?
Well, it's June.
Oh. Okay.
World's biggest swim lesson.
All right, well, something definitely to consider.
That's a great
for
idea.
For marketing and outreach or whatever, which we will be talking about shortly. Is that all for the Director of Aquatics Operations? Ma'am?
Oh, yes, it is. I'm writing these notes down.
Okay. All right, the time is 6:47. We'd like to hear from the District Administrator.
Okay, please turn to page 38 where my report is. Item 1 has already been mentioned. Item 2 has been mentioned by Vanessa. Item 3, the Local Records Grant Program had a training in Federal Way on June 5th that I attended. There was a ton of new information from Mike Saunders about that program. Essentially, there's not a lot of buck for the bang in the program. The legislature created this program to be able to give out $2.1 million divided into three phases, $700,000 per phase. In phase one, there were $2.6 million in requests in excess of that $700,000 amount. Only 21% of the agencies that made requests received money, received a grant. And today I spoke with Wendy Leonard here at the Valley View Water, Sewer and Water District, who they received a grant. She said that what they received was $1,000.
What did they ask for?
They asked for $901.03.
Oh, so they got more,
they
than,
got
they
more than they asked for.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, what did they, did you ask what, which category they asked for?
That was already on the list of awards, and they got a organize the file room grant. Not the other two opportunities are technology tools and document scanning.
Can we ask to see a copy of what they did, seeing as they were successful?
As a matter of fact, this is what she left here on the
awesome.
Table for me today. I'll pass this around. Given that the preparation for the grant, in terms of my time, could be as much as 100 hours, if we were to get a $1,000 grant, that would nowhere near come close to the amount we would spend on my time to prepare for that.
Do you think
application.
They spent? Do you think they spent that much time on this grant based on?
There's no way to know because, okay. and I doubt it because she said that their files aren't they were not in a bad state because this is a fairly new building. So when they moved into this building, that's when they had the opportunity to reorganize everything and put it in places where they knew where everything was, and they weren't dealing with a backlog of materials.
Well, I'm curious, I mean, just looking at this,
yeah.
It doesn't look like
they asked
did very much preparation at all.
Yeah. They just, so Richard, I know you haven't had it, this isn't fair to you, because you haven't had a chance to look at this. All they did was ask for shelves, file cabinet, and a box, which would be great for us.
Well, yeah, they've got locking boxes.
Yes, locking boxes.
But even if you just duplicated this, I can't imagine that it took...
It could have taken more than an hour.
I'm looking at this.
But it doesn't look like there's any narrative required.
There's nothing, no.
It just says file, so what, all they're asking is for hardware.
What she gave me is not the totality of what they did or what their application amounted to. This was just the...
No, actually it is, Richard. I'm looking at this. It says four dwarf, so they're asking for a legal four dwarf file cabinet, $350, a shelf rack of $150, lock and file boxes, $52, for a total cost of $817.92 plus tax, grand total of $901. So they just literally just asked for stuff.
Right, and I asked her if she had asked for time for any temp workers. She said no.
But even if we could get and stuff.
But what you're looking at is not the online application form.
It looks like the online application.
It does.
Really?
Yeah, so this is the walkthrough. She just did a screen capture of each page, like here. It's like 3-4 pages, and these are just some uploaded copies of this.
I remember when you brought this forward in January, and we talked about this, I believe, last week, that you had sent the link, and you could actually look
through.
You could look through what the, and this is exactly what the application is. It's
so here is submit. So you
like
just,
I say, I haven't looked at this at all.
So yeah, no, it's not fair to you, but this, I mean, even if we could just get stuff, $1,000 worth of stuff to store, because just cabinets and this, even if we got what they got. I'm looking at this. I don't see this taking a lot of your time. Figuring out a temp person to do, you know, is a lot more, but if we could just get some things to store them in, we could even duplicate this if they were successful for a very, very little amount of your time. I'm just throwing out there for discussion about it's worth looking into on a very small.
I would have to go back through task lists. But I believe you haven't you already logged some time into looking into the contracts, but you never were able to find a copy of the contract, of the online application, is that correct?
No. I don't know what you mean by contract.
I'm sorry, forget the word contract, let me rephrase the question. Vanessa, in January, had sent everyone a link, I believe, to this opportunity and the three grants that were available. Part of that link was a copy of the application process for each of the different grants. When we spoke about this last Wednesday, or the Wednesday before, I can't remember which, you had indicated that you had not seen the application. Have you ever seen the online application?
Just that.
Okay. No. All right. So I also believe that you've talked to Mike Saunders several times and now have gotten even more information and went to that. So I guess it would be interesting to follow up and have you see if you can find that the walkthrough of the online application and I heard you just say 100 hours as an estimate, and I understand that's an estimate, but considering what we're seeing and what I knew from what Vanessa had sent before, I believe the process might be quite simpler.
But to be fair to Richard...
You're comparing apples and oranges. Their Valley View's situation is vastly different from ours, and the amount of time that they spent putting in their application would not suffice to the need that we have.
Well, I think that would be an interesting conversation, because at this point I don't know what your proposal is for what we need. I do know that when I was in your office on Wednesday, somebody came and said they need a new filing cabinet, which certainly seems like something that could be ordered through, you know, they certainly did. So I'm sure that's not everything. But as Commissioner Zapital pointed out, you know, and I pointed out in at least two of the previous leadership meetings, that getting some money from the state to assist us is a much better alternative than us trying to have to budget for it. Because, and we'll get to this in a little bit, you know, we at the retreat we discussed what our kind of driving purpose is. And our driving purpose is to try and make sure that our community has an opportunity to swim. And as far as I can tell, that's not gonna, I mean, we're gonna need file cabinets to file records, I totally get that, but we're not gonna have a lot of money
And if there's opportunities to get the money for no charge, then that would be a great opportunity and time well spent, up to, you know, I'm sure as long as it's reasonable.
So. I agree. The devil is in the details.
That is correct.
Because as the complexity of the of a
but we haven't had that discussion. I don't mean to cut you off, but I mean Commissioner Zapadil has a question, but we can't discuss something we don't even if we don't even have a plan yet. So I don't know what purpose we would want to have a big discussion about this, since we don't know what we're, you know, are we talking file cabinets? Are we talking temp workers? Are we talking pulleys that put things up in the air? We don't know, because there's been no plan made for that. Commissioner Zapadil.
So it sounded like, Richard, you when you say 100 hours, you had envisioned something different initially. You had looked for... what is it, the Maserati, which we have in our McKinstry boiler? You know, you were looking at something bigger rather than just purchasing items, right? Is what I'm assuming the 100 hours would be to research to find temp workers. And it sounds like on your research here that may be, may not be as likely to accomplish. Versus if we say, I think there's a big range. There could be getting someone to come in and do everything, all the way down to, hey, we need these things just to put our stuff on so they're not in Rubbermaid containers just somewhere. You know, that there's a big range here. This seems like a successful low-end range, but you were probably thinking of something more. Is that correct?
Right. I was thinking in the $5,000 to $9,000 range to cover the workers that we would want to come in and do appraisal of the documents, to cover the materials that we would need, shelving and boxes, and preferably the locking boxes for security reasons.
But as
Saunders explained it, the more money you ask for, the more the scoring committee is going to look for both quantification of the problem, the project, and the projected results. So the more money you ask for, the more complicated the application necessarily becomes.
So maybe it seems that simple applicants, I hear they asked for 900 and they got 1,000. Sounds like a simple application of maybe, and ours might be one step farther, ours might be a, you know, climate more, you know, containers that are better for high humidity, you know, rather than just a standard file box. I mean, that's not going to take a lot of research to do something like that, but it sounds like what you're saying is you might be more successful in a lower end with just items that we can then put downstairs wherever.
The less money requested, the greater the likelihood of being awarded a grant, but overall, the odds are about 20%, 21%.
Better than playing the lottery.
So it,
yeah, well, that application is looked out. It's like it might take 30 minutes.
So, I appreciate the application seems pretty straightforward.
Well, she said that it took about 2 hours because mostly it was getting everything into a JPEG that gave her some difficulty.
Okay. So, and she obviously had some time to research which file cabinets she would like, and I could see that taking 2 hours from start to finish. That seems totally reasonable. And a two-hour investment of your time to get even $1,000 worth of stuff seems reasonable. Now, 100 hours of your time to invest, or say even 25 hours, does not seem reasonable, obviously, but.
Well, I don't envision it taking, it's just not, I don't, less than 10 hours just isn't realistic because if we just go for a minimal amount, then it's going to take minimal effort.
Well, I guess my fear is rather than saying let's not do it.
The question is how much really do you want to risk in terms of my time to how much money you want to ask for.
So do we, but I guess the question is we definitely need, sorry, I'm monopolizing. We definitely need some places to put our records down, especially downstairs. It's not really acceptable the way it is. We need to be able to put our stuff on some kind of filing cabinets. The only thing I would say in addition to that is some, like I said, if there's humidity controlled, that the important documents, things you really want to retain, if there's some kind of file cabinets that are more better for that, I would suggest, but I wouldn't want to see you spend more than, if she spent 2 hours, I wouldn't want to see you spend more than 4 hours.
Well,
because it seems fairly simple. It's, I don't know, what do other people think?
I forwarded the training PowerPoint that Mike Saunders sent me, and I hope you all looked at that, because that was the document that detailed the complexity of the application process. If you're not familiar with that, then we need to bring back this discussion at a later time.
I guess, and I appreciate, I looked at the document, but to me that seemed to be like the ones that you were originally thinking of, like the $9,000-$10,000 or the more complex applications. This is a very simple, straightforward, low rent application versus what that PowerPoint went into.
How much money do you want to ask?
We want to get as much as we can.
That's not specific. It needs to be.
So, Richard, I need to know. Here's where I am on this, and you know, commissioners can chime in or not. If you're not going to go after this grant, then I will, because I will not let the opportunity for even $1,000 worth of furniture, filing cabinets, go by without us attempting to get it. Because we don't have, if I have $1,000, this group has decided that we would rather spend that $1,000 on offering swim lessons than on paying for a file cabinet. So when there's a grant like this, I want us to go for it. And if you think that it's not, you know, and I understand, you know, there's probably, you know, I mean, I myself was looking at pulley systems and everything, but maybe that's a little bit, you know, overwhelming. And I don't know, because I didn't talk to this person here and I didn't look at the other winning applications, which are all public information and we can request them and look at them. I did look at the application that Vanessa sent in January. It is very simple. For what we're trying, for the one that we're looking for. And so I guess if you feel that, you know, that you just don't feel like you can move forward because what you are envisioning, you don't think we're gonna get, then I'm gonna move forward with what I think we can get and we can currently use. That's where I'm at. I don't know about the rest of the commission.
Well, in order to begin thinking and put the process in a proper framework, I need a number from you guys about how much money is we want to put into the ask.
Well, we have been talking. So we've been talking about this particular project for several months now in our leadership meetings. Because this was something that I wanted to have the district, who is responsible for records, and operation, who creates all the records, to work together. Because one of the hugest challenges we have is we don't have square footage. We don't have a lot of space. And so this was an opportunity, in my view, that we could, you know, have you two work together to try and figure out. Because right now, the only space that I know of is downstairs, and that hasn't really been gone through except for what we did last summer, and we didn't really spend a lot of time, you know, going through records. And although, quite honestly, if we spent an hour a week going through those, we would eventually get through them all. I mean, I think that to wait until we can hire temp workers or something is kind of an error, because I don't know that, you know, the minute you start, and what I'm hearing you say is the minute you start adding things on, then the people who are making the decisions are kind of like, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, it seemed easy enough to get stuff, like Vanessa said. So, you know, I mean, if I were you and I was asked to come up with a plan, I think I'd offer, you know, like three options. There's the Maserati, where we spend $10,000 and get pulley systems and temperatures and, you know.
Ellen, I'd just be a little bit cautious. Sorry, 1 second, Dave. About offering three plans, because each plan requires Richard's time to create. So I think
on a very high level, without doing much, I mean, I'm making this up. I'd say $10,000, I could figure out a way to spend $10,000 on several things, and that's, you know, including temps. That would be a high level version of what that would be, and then the mid-range version and the low-range version. And what I'm hearing you say is that you're not sure which one to go for. And I guess give us three options and we'll tell you which one to go for. And without going into a lot of detail. I mean,
but without spending more than an hour.
Yeah.
Just, I want to put quantifications on this.
Right. Without spending more than an hour, you know, like if that would include, like, you look, you know, Lowe's offers a shack that we could put in the back. I mean, you know, where we could store records. I'm just, it's not worth investing a lot of time, I agree, in something that if the chances of getting are low, but the chances of getting something is 20%, knowing that the smaller you ask, the higher your chances are. If we don't ask for anything, we're not going to get anything. I'm pretty sure that if we go on the low end and ask for like $2,000 worth of stuff, that they might say, yeah. And I think that would be worth the investment of 4 to 5 hours of time. Yes, sir.
Question for the board and then comment afterwards. What's the retention period that you need for these records? Is it long term?
Some of it's long term. It's all according to the Secretary of State, who has a calendar.
So between, so Dave, to answer your question, between two to 6 years.
Yeah.
Is where they usually fall.
It's fairly lengthy, whether it's short term or long term.
And then, sorry, just so you know, then after that, there's certain records that then have to get transferred to the Washington State Archives if we choose not to.
They're no longer in our possession. Yeah. We're only worried about what Alan's directing on, her comments at. And so in order to do that, you need to determine a cost, which is what's being requested. And part of that should be understanding the condition that you're going to want to be preserving these records, understanding that they must be preserved and retained, for whether it's short-term or long-term. And our options are very limited as to where they can be stored. So I'm given that information that I've heard tonight. I would also add to that equation that they also must be protected against water intrusion in case the worst-case scenario happens and we end up flooding our storage area. So they must be maintained in waterproof vessels of some sort, you know, or whatever it is. So when you're looking at that cost so you can determine what to go for the grant, please consider that in there so that you can make sure that we will prevent those records. Just like if you were in a building that was made out of wood, it had to have fireproof storage facilities in it so that they could not be.
Yeah. I mean, Walmart is supposed to be disposed of or destroyed. I mean, I don't want this opportunity to go past either because, you know, we definitely need the storage room downstairs. We need more containers, we need lots of stuff downstairs. That is like a simple thing to do. I don't mind doing it just because it needs to be done. I can quickly, I'm not going to spend hours and hours on this. I don't have time to spend hours and hours on it. But I can tell you, I can do this really fast. I can do that really fast. I'll be glad to take it if you'll just hand it to me and tell me what I need to, where the website is. I'll just do it. I'm tired of talking. Like, we talk this thing to death, and we're making a mountain out of a molehill to me. And I'm just like, we just need to do it. So if you don't mind, I'll take the paperwork, I'll get it done.
In a lot of ways, you know, Michelle knows what the space requires down there. She's down there a lot more than Richard is. So as far as knowing what's going to fit, it's going to require Michelle's input to a degree.
It definitely is going to require Michelle's input. But one of the concerns that I have is that we have existing records, and that they are not organized
I'll organize the breakfast. I'll just make sure that this gets done.
Well,
we get the equipment, and then he can handle the
breakfast. And to tell you, I mean, without, well, it's, I'm going to prolong this discussion. When we went through the records, what I found was very impressive that the city of Tukwila
did. Yes, it was.
And what they did is that they had a standard form that they used to tell whoever was going to open up the treasure box what was inside and how long it needed to be kept.
Yes. Now, great template.
It was a great template, and we should definitely use it. We, you know, I mean, because I don't want a commission 10 years from now to be sitting around going, you know, what did the people before do?
Well, and sorry, Alan, I interrupted you, but it was a stark contrast between what the city had and then when the council had it.
Yes.
For that year. It
yes.
was, the difference was stuff just, and we don't have that situation. Christine Selleck is very organized with
yes.
her files. What happened in that transition year was, it was amazing. Things just got literally dumped in a couple boxes. So we went through that. We did go through that. But the other stuff...
We didn't organize it, though.
Well, we didn't organize it to a degree, but not to city's degree. And that
right.
would be the standard that I would look for in the future.
And anybody, I mean, it should be that anybody can go down there and they can see whether it's a three-ring binder, sheet protected, or on the boxes itself, or both, or and electronic. They can see where the records are, and hopefully have it electronic as well so it can be searchable. So if we're looking for like a credit card bill, it'll be, you know, it'll be easy to be found. But, you know, we don't, and the problem isn't that insurmountable. It's not like we have a bazillion records, but what it does require is time to go through them and knowledge of what we're looking for and doing. So, all right, so where are we with this?
I was going to ask, wasn't part of this original grant, aside from equipment, was also to move the documents to storage with the state? Or wasn't there more than this?
You are correct. I remember reading that.
And I seem to remember there was a lot of money and hours involved with that particular piece.
If
so,
we know that we have a lot of that particular piece.
That is, because when it moves to state, correct me if I'm wrong. So the ones that are 6 years or older, there's ones that we can definitely give to them if we want to lose them out of our possession to the state. But did you say that there were other things that we could transfer to the state sooner? Or was it only after the 6 years passed?
It depends on the type of document.
Yeah.
If it's considered archival,
yes.
then they will take it.
And typically those, I spent some time reading that wonderful document you printed for me. That was light reading.
Yeah.
It's this thick.
The state.
Yeah,
the
records
state.
Retention
yeah.
schedule. It seems
yeah.
that, I just want to say generally, they were typically ones that are 6 years and older. Things like agendas we have to keep, minutes we have to keep, board-related stuff, or it has to be kept forever. But what it means is we send it over to the state at that point, and then they determine, they know immediately this is minutes, that has to be archived forever, or then they destroy it.
That's their appraisal process.
Yeah.
So that, I thought, was supposed to be part of what we were doing in terms of the grant. So in terms of direction to Richard, I think the question would be, do you just want to stick with equipment and forget that part? Save it for another day. But that did sound like that was the expensive, time-consuming part of it.
To decide what
that particular piece, if I can remember correctly.
Well,
you know, so.
I'm a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused because records and minutes,
mm-hmm.
agendas, are things that we keep electronically. So if we need to send them to the state after 6 years, isn't it possible to just go and print them and send them to the state? I mean, I don't even know
we don't, and I don't think, Richard, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't have to send them to the state. If we want to retain them on site, we can. It just unburdens us if we ever want
well,
to not
we
have it.
To have, I mean, do we have to have them printed? Or if we have them electronically stored in like two different secure locations, and somebody wants to see them, like we have them on our website right now, anybody can go and get them. I think is the challenge, is that, you know, the knowledge base for what we need to do is
we're still in the learning phase.
So I think the question is what is, it's more the scope of what you want, Richard.
And I don't think we know that scope yet.
What is the scope? Because that's, I think it's more maybe a little bit more what Richard is asking for is the scope.
And I don't think we're there on the bigger scope yet. I think we can all see a smaller scope.
Yeah.
I think it's a bigger discussion for the bigger scope. And
to directly respond to Ellen's question that she posed in regard to digital versus paper records, the state has adopted, if the record was created in a digital format, they will archive it in the digital format. If it was created in the paper format, because there's this transition period, it cannot be transferred to a digital format for archiving. It has to stay in the paper format. I think that's the decision they made.
They've changed that. And part of the second and third phase grants are that phase two is the technology tools that would be needed, such as servers and long-term storage devices like high-density solid-state drives, as well as the scan. The third phase is the scanning work, the what's called digitizing records. So they do have funds, and they do plan on long-term storage of documents via digital media. What's up in the air though is the format and the media that they believe is going to be archival is somewhat in flux, because not all media are created equal. There's a vast difference between CDs and DVDs and flash drives, and all memory right now is not considered archival because they can be erased accidentally or corrupted, or even if it's on a DVD, the DVD will decay.
Yeah, but that gets into the later part of the transition from paper to digital environment. Still, we've got paper records.
Well, like, I think what, like, for example, Dave, if I'm correct, would be minutes that were signed.
Correct.
That's a paper record. So what I'm hearing from Richard is it's possible now that you can then just scan it, and now that becomes the primary record.
Right. The state,
in
the
certain circumstances, but it depends on the format that you scan it in.
So I'm going to end this discussion because it's 7:19, and I think we could go on for a long time. I think that at least what I'm hearing is that we still need a little bit more information. And since the record keeping is a district responsibility, you are the lucky person, Richard, who gets to learn as far as what we've got downstairs. What do we need to do with that? As far as your buddy at the state would tell us, the archiver, what do we need to archive? Because we know that Christine Selleck is keeping the records orderly now, and we know that we've got records down in the basement that haven't been kept in an orderly way, and we don't
and
seem
some
to,
that are
and some that are, and so we need to and we also have a deadline on this opportunity, which again we're going to go after, whether you know it's just asking for stuff or not. So I guess we just, you know, we're going to need to take some additional time and get, you know, have a learning curve and try and figure it out. And so that when we are ready to go for a grant, we will have more information, and we will have an idea of what the scope that we're willing to go for and try and get. Does that seem reasonable?
Now, keep in mind a couple of the rules that if you apply for and are awarded a grant in of either of the three types,
yes,
you are ineligible to request that same type a second time.
Okay. But you could do another type.
Right.
If you so.
So if we get ask for the organizing the file room grant this time around,
that's it for that one.
That's it for that type. And I don't think that that's wise, because I think we can get a lot more money out of it if we wait till the third cycle to get our ducks in a row and to get to make the application worthwhile to get the $5,000 to $9,000 that I'm thinking about. And I think that the investment of time is necessary to increase our odds, because it's a very, very competitive process. There are 2,400 agencies in the state of Washington that are eligible for these grants. The first time, only 266 applications were made, but Mike says that there's likely to be as many as 500 or 600 in the second phase, which would also reduce the odds of us getting anything if our application is insufficient.
So, Richard, I'm curious. If we put in an application and we got denied, we didn't get, we're successful, that doesn't preclude us from putting, say, we do records management this time and we put it in for $2,000, they say no. That doesn't stop us down the road for doing another records management application because we weren't successful.
Correct.
Okay, so we don't lose that opportunity if we're not successful this time.
Right.
Okay. No, it's important to know what.
But if
you
we
just
ask
said,
for $1,000 and get it,
that's all we're getting.
Then we're not going
to
get the bigger the amount later on for that type of.
Right.
Now, who knows? Maybe you guys decide to go digital and that the technology tools or the scanning application grant is what. And those grants do provide for much more money.
We're going to stop. No offense, but this could go on all night. And I think that the important things that Richard has included in this memo under three is the deadline for cycle three is April or May of 2019, with awards announced in July of 2019. I'm sure that the cycle two is, that's the one that opens July 2nd, and the deadline is July 31st. Is
of this year, correct.
Okay, of this year. And, so I would like to hear from all the commissioners, not tonight, not right now. I want you to look at this over and go back to Vanessa's email that she sent with the original links to it, and let me know what your thoughts are, if you have any, what your preferences are, if you have any, especially any of us who have spent some time in the basement. And just keeping in mind about the space issue that we have at the pool. And I would like to have that feedback, and so we can continue this discussion.
When would you like it by?
By the deadline of the next meeting.
Well, this deadline, though, is the 30th of June.
No, it's... The deadline is...
Oh, sorry, this is... Oh, I'm
July
2nd. Thank you.
Is July 31st, no.
Thank you. I was looking at a June 30th.
Yes.
But no, okay,
that
perfect.
That is incorrect.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So if we can talk about this and make a decision at the next meeting...
Okay.
Then we can decide if we're going to move forward or if we want more time and push it back. Okay?
So you want it
clear
before
that?
The meeting?
I want it when you have to have stuff due, whatever date that is. I don't know.
One last comment to close out my comment on this topic. Mike specifically said that one of the things that the scoring committee looks at is whether or not your agency has a set of policies and procedures in place prior to the application. If the agency does not, the scoring committee looks at that as almost to disqualify the agency, to make them ineligible.
Okay.
And when I looked at the policy manual, our policy on records only deals with public information requests. It says nothing. It does not address the issue of records management, retention, or destruction, which are the three elements that a policy needs to have to be considered comprehensive.
Okay. Great information.
On point four, that's pretty self-explanatory. That Southside Chamber of Commerce has been put on hold. I guess I would just be waiting to hear more from you guys as commissioners whether that's something that interests you at all?
Just for the commissioners' information, I made a decision that at this point, you know, until we get, you know, more settled in marketing and what's going forward on that, the purpose of the, you know, Seattle Southside Chamber is obviously great networking. They've got trainings and things available, but at this point, we don't have anybody who's representing the pool and helping us. You know, we have to fine-tune our elevator pitch as far as what our purpose is. So I've put that on hold for at least my turn. The next president can do it.
On point five, I've been in communication with AWC about their programs. And to address Commissioner Shipman's concern that was expressed at the last meeting about comparing apples to apples, we have to, in order to get a quote from them, there's information that they need to generate that quote. So that information is being researched and gathered. That information will come primarily from our old records regarding any claims or incidents that we've had over time.
Is that not just a request from WCIA for a list of all record of any claims? I'm just curious. Is that just not an email saying, can we have a listing and of all claims filed and received?
That would be one part of, of it, but that it's not limited to
I saw what the thing. It was a lot of work to do this. It was not a short amount of time.
Well, I don't know.
Mostly, what they're interested in is the values of the property that they would be covering. So we would have to, and this goes to the inventory of fixed.
Why can't we just give them a copy of what our current insurance policy is? Can't they work off of that?
No.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Really? Because that's how I have my homeowners people fight over me. Huh. Well, and at this point, so are you the one gathering the information?
So far, yeah.
Okay, all right, well, I would not spend a lot of time on that. I don't know that that's a huge priority. You know, if they can't help us by taking what we currently have and moving forward with that, I don't know.
Okay. Well.
Okay.
Without seeing the process, that would be helpless.
What?
Oh, without. I was just looking at probably some things they could get from WCIA, CIA, but other things they can't. Just reading this piece, so like you'd be able to get a loss run from WCIA, all the losses.
Yeah.
But you might not be able to get all the property.
Wouldn't it be in our current policy?
I think we have an aggregate. I think we have a total.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's just going by memory, so don't quote me on that
one. I don't know. That's what I was thinking, is maybe that's why it's some stuff they can get, we have to go run after the other.
I mean, we're not dissatisfied with WCIA at this point, so it's not like there's a huge pressing, you know, it's not like the Rec 1 situation.
Okay. I can ask AWC why they need the inventory values.
Well, I would just, you know, I mean, because that is cost prohibitive. I mean, to have lots of hours spent on, you know, doing this simply for the, I mean, I know that we need to have an assets log and all that, but to just do it for the purpose of.
But we don't just for, because we need it anyway.
Well, but we don't need a valuation. We just simply need a listing of properties. So we don't care about the value of them.
Oh.
We just care that we didn't lose any of these pieces, that nothing walked away.
All right.
Boiler would be pretty hard. I'm sure Michelle some days would
like
it to walk away.
Well, there's got to be a limit.
Well,
can't
getting,
imagine they want to know about a steel chair.
Getting appraisal amounts would be difficult anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, they would, I'm sure, would like our business. So I would look for ways that they can make it easier,
make
because
it
it's not worth a lot of your time to give them what they need just to give us an estimate for insurance where we already have some that we like.
All right. So there's a WCIA risk managers forum. Oh, wait, page number six.
Yeah, don't forget number six, Richard.
Yeah.
McKinstry.
Contracts. So I have the old McKinstry contract and their schedule and their equipment list and one of their inspection reports from Michelle. Thank you. She sent that to me today. And incorporating that into a new contract won't take a lot of time, but it's, you know, attention to detail, that that's where the devil is in that particular detail. So number seven, the Risk Managers Forum is at the WCIA office on Thursday. I believe that that would fulfill our requirement to attend three trainings in 2018. Which would free me up not having to go to the full board in October. So the last two points are that the maintenance worker one and two job descriptions are in the employee handbook, and if you've pulled those from your mailbox, you should have them to insert into your copies of the employee handbook. And finally, I'm going on vacation, and it's the first vacation I've taken in 14 years.
And which gold world are you going into?
Yeah.
Very good.
We get to stay at Fort Knox for free because we're veterans.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
I had one question.
Yes,
sorry.
Please.
Just a reminder, have we done, Richard, have we done the PRR login waiver, the public records request portal yet? Have you? I can't remember, did it open June 1st?
What are you talking about?
Well, remember we have to, by June 30th, we have to log in.
Oh, for JLARC?
Yeah.
That's done.
Okay, thank you. I'll check it off. Perfect.
Okay, any other questions? All right, moving on. Techwell Pool Advisory Committee. I believe we received a lovely something, chair report. Yeah. So it looks like you, that TPAC, reviewed the video surveillance policy.
Or was putting together one.
Okay, putting together one.
Yay!
Yay, you're creating a policy. How ironic. TPAC usually hates policies.
I know, a labor of love.
And so what is, TPAC is going to continue to work on that?
I think so, but I think they just wanted to send over a preliminary look at it for the board to look at it. If there was any suggestions on it now, that it'd be preferable to have some of that stuff put in before the meeting this coming Saturday.
Okay. So TPAC wants stuff for Saturday if there's anything big, and then they're going to tweak it a little bit more, but they don't want it to go on, or then they'll let us know when they want it to go before the full board?
Correct.
Okay.
So this is just FYI at this point?
Yeah, it's just a basic version of it.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, TPAC.
They worked off of one that was already sent via email.
Yeah, and a couple of other ones.
And a couple of other ones. There was quite a bit of input.
It looks very streamlined.
Well, the other ones have, I think, way more.
Right, we kept it. Covered a lot of the basic points. Michelle had a lot of good input, and everybody else, and Jackie, and everybody who was at the meeting, so I thought it was really good. I thought they put it together
That's
really
great.
Well.
Yeah. And we can also send, like, I think if you want to check, send out email versions too, or if you have email versions you want to send back to, or to be able to send that.
So I'm curious, in the discussion that TPAC had, what was the, if you have cameras, you're creating records and you're now responsible for those. If you don't have cameras, you're not creating those records. And also, what kind of discussion was had regarding placement? I mean, where, what kind of cameras, how many? You didn't discuss
it. Well, I think that was kind of...
I see that there is this, to assure there is no violation of person's reasonable expectation of privacy.
Well, and I think on number three for procurement placement.
And the, so there's
on the basis and what the director would need.
But talking about records, commissioners up for the record, I will bring with me my, you know, book of record, because I've got the pages specifically about video surveillance, and this will suffice for the records, the 30 days of recording.
Okay.
The only exception, we may have to just put some language in, the only exception from what I remember is if it is a crime that occurs
mm-hmm.
against
crime.
The property, there's a records, and then if it's a crime that recurs against a minor, you have to keep it for a couple years beyond their 18 and things like that. So it could be just simply per,
right,
you know, whatever.
Well, that's what the down
is
it? Yeah, if
the RCW is for that too.
Right, because it says if a criminal incident has occurred on the surveillance data will be retained by TMPD for 6 years.
Yeah, but that may not be okay enough for a minor. If the child, because it has to be 2 years after they turn 18 or something. I'm going by memory, but so you may want, that's just a suggestion, but
at the meeting, a lot of the specifics, you know, about how it applies and all the stuff that you're asking didn't occur because what was trying to be whittled out of that meeting was the actual draft policy in a basic format that could now start the process of marching forward through initial refinement and trying to understand how different sections of the state law and what we have to do that Commissioner Lavelle is going to be bringing to the next meeting. We can start fine-tuning it. Basically, it was to try and get a creation of a policy draft that we have something tangible at this point that we've created that now we can start to make it applicable and sort of understand what the requirements are going to be for overtime and how we'll apply it to ourselves. So all of those still have to be, and that's why I asked the question earlier, was this FYI, because it's got a lot of work.
Yeah.
This is basically the direction that the committee had put together to bring forward, thanks to all that participated, and that's really it at this point.
One quick question. Did TPAC have a conversation? I know Christine had brought forward, something about the one district didn't do the parking lots because of assumed liability.
Yes, Fidalgo Pool had stated that they didn't do the parking lot because there was a concern that they would have, if somebody had something stolen from their vehicle, they could then turn around and sue the facility because there was some sort of
assumption
that they were
monitoring,
securing
the
that area too.
Hmm.
So
that's just somehow.
That was what they explained.
Okay,
so
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Why has everybody been having cameras in the parking lot, but 9 times or 10 times out of 10, usually, when someone steals something out of a car, if they're not clear enough to see who the person is or whatever. But recently, the same day, the car got stolen from our facility, a car got stolen from husband's wife, and they were able to see, but just happened at the angle, they could see who it was, and so my husband was, whatever you call it, asked to come to court to testify that, you know, what he saw on camera, or
So do we have did we pull a Y policy on the cameras?
I don't think so.
Well, it sounds like there's more discussion that will happen at TPAC this Saturday.
Sounds good.
So
thank you. However, the library does not.
The library does what?
Does not have
cameras.
Really?
Not out the
brain library.
Okay. All right, so the time is now 7:47. And I just want to mention, we don't have anything in old business. That's because I'm old. So there was talk about the volunteer policy, and our director of robotics operations has requested that we move that discussion to either July or August because she is attending a training. on volunteer policies, procedures, et cetera. So she will be...
It's in July, so it'll be in August.
Okay, so it'll be in August.
It's WCIA, so when...
Okay, so you're going to WCIA training in July for volunteers, so we're going to talk about volunteers in August. And the social media policy, which Commissioner Zapadol had given everybody and some excellent information, that is that was just overlooked.
Okay.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened. Richard reminded me, and I was like, oh, no. And I got it confused with Michelle. So the social media, we can discuss in July. Is that okay? Are you going to be here?
July.
Okay.
August July 9th is the next meeting.
Okay, so we'll move into the July 9th. So if you have feedback from Commissioner Zapadol, you can...
And then anyone who had feedback for the employee handbook part of it was to send that to Richard also.
Okay.
The guidelines for the handbook.
So I'll talk to Richard about that on Wednesday, so just so we have anything that came in. All right. So now, new business items. Page 40.
Do I?
46. Financial Policy 535.
I was there, yes.
I was just giving my fellow Finance Committee member a chance to present, but she is so declined.
Well, I can present. I can present. No, it's fine, because this actually, to be honest, was more of a staff-driven.
Yes.
We were very thankful that we had Christine there, because she was able to walk us through the whole procedure and what happened so we could get the verbiage exactly correct.
And was there.
So it was very helpful, because she was like, well, that's not what that means, and that's not. So that was very understanding that we made to be consistency, calling it a cash log, you know, transaction reports, so it was all consistent throughout the document. But a huge thanks goes to staff with Christine on this, because she knew exactly what the procedure, what they go through every day.
Okay, and
thank you, Richard, for making it in the version of a strike through that's so much more helpful for us.
Is there any discussion?
You're welcome.
This is something that they had in the job description.
Yes.
It's much more detailed, because the auditor is requesting us to do more work on our end. It's good. But she goes through the daily questions and make sure that everything is where it's supposed to be, which is very, very thankful, because there's a time where I look at it online. And she figures it out, which is great.
Okay, so it looks like there is a recommendation. The Finance Committee recommends the adoption of Policy 535 as revised by the Board of Commissioners. Do I have a motion? Please.
Commissioner Zapadol makes motion to approve Policy 535 as presented.
Commissioner Frangello Anderson seconds.
Discussion?
I don't want to make such a difference, but I think that they legally was a gimmick. But with everything being must, is there any reasoning for that versus shall? Just for ease of general.
Where are you?
For,
which page?
Any of
both pages.
All your musts.
I thought we already did that.
Must.
I can comment on that.
Okay.
Please
do, Richard.
The word must is a word that is a directive. It's an unambiguous term. Shall
kind of leaves it open.
Literally means that it has already. So it's like it shall be done.
Like an assumption.
Right.
And the reason it's must is, I remember a previous email from WCIA when they used to review our policies. They said if you use must, there are situations where it has to happen, and in these cases,
it has to happen.
It has to happen.
Yes, not,
so that's why that, yeah, was thoughtfully changed.
They still do review some policies, just not financial.
Yeah.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, there's a motion on the table to approve whatever this is. Financial policy, cash and deposit management 535. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? None pass. Time is now 7:47, and we're moving to the next portion, which is retreat focus, page 43.
Yay. More fun.
Yes, more fun. So this is an overview of the retreat, my overview, so if any of you have any disagreements, just please bring them up if I didn't remember appropriately. But the consensus at the end of the retreat was that the board seemed to want to focus intent, energy, and resources on two of our core values, and those two values were educating all ages of our community in the lifelong skills of swimming and water safety, and conducting our business and maintaining our facility in a fiscally responsible manner that ensures the community can depend on aquatics as an available resource for generations to come. And in reviewing those two items, and also just note on the last sentence of the third paragraph, while the two goals of education and financial stability are the main drivers, there was discussion on how other TPMPD values of collaboration, innovation, and programming impacted those two purpose drivers. So by focusing on education and the fiscal responsibility, we can use those two things kind of as guardrails as we make choices in our budget. So again, if we consider what is a priority and what isn't, the guiding forces are how does it affect these two purposes that we've agreed are important to us, and are, rather than just being, you know, words on paper, as many businesses have done with core, you know, with mission, vision, and values, we are actually have taken the step of saying we want to act on these. So that means when we sit down and budget, that budget needs to reflect these two values. All of our decisions need to reflect these two values. And I guess I keep saying that because I have to keep saying it to myself to remind me what that really means. It's not just lip service. It's, you know, it's a choice. So we had some discussion, and one of the discussion points was repurposing what is currently the programming committee to becoming the programming and outreach committee, with the emphasis on outreach activities and creating metrics to measure our success with our purpose drivers. Now, another thing that, you know, struck me, and what I also heard resonate with the commission, was the outreach has to be, you know, it's not something necessarily that can just be delegated out. No, it's not. I mean, and just an example of that would be the fact that Alan and Dr. Barry came to our retreat. They didn't send minions, although those are cute, those little minions. They didn't send anybody. They came. So if we truly are, you know, interested in outreach, you know, and everybody, I you know, this isn't like, let's, you know, die on this, you know, cross or anything. This is what can we do, each of us individually and together as a group, to help further that. What's practical? What's possible? Because I think that we're going to see some exciting changes if we do, you know, really envelop this and embrace it. So that was one of the things, to have the programming committee become the programming and outreach committee. Have the Programming and Outreach Committee, POC, discuss and recommend commissioner outreach to the community, have POC recommend metrics which reflect progress on the purpose drivers, and use the purpose drivers as tools for five-year and longer-term strategic planning. And one of the things that came up was, you know, well, what about, you know, what about the life cycle of the pool and all that? And I actually had, the day after the retreat, I met with some of my friends who went to the deep water aerobics class. And I said, oh, how was that? And they go, oh, it was great, but the pool was really busy. They were having lifeguard training. They were having swim lessons. It was hard to hear. And I wrote that down because that would, I think, at least for me, was an example of something that would be a driver. If we want our pool to be very engaged and have people there, we want to make sure that people can hear. So I don't know what the answer is. I just know that I've heard a problem, and I know of an acoustic problem that the pool has. And if we want more people to be engaged, then that's probably something at some point that's going to need to be addressed in facilities and in budget and resource allocation. So,
Just a quick follow-up to that. I was at the next one,
yeah.
And the good, the yay is, because there wasn't a lifeguard class, everyone heard just fine at that class, but we want to be so that people can't hear. We want to be that busy.
Right. We want...
people did hear the next class.
That's great, yeah. But instead of looking at the pool as a facility that at some point, you know, we're going to need to replace, I think that what we said is that this will drive it. And another thing that I think I dreamt it. I was like, oh my God, we're going to have, you know, the shag housing. And, you know, seniors tend to like the water warmer than the swimmers do. And, you know, and it was like, so maybe at some point that'll be a driver. That, you know, oh, okay, well, maybe we need to come up with some sort of therapy pool or something. And how do we do that? And what does that look like? And where do we do that? And then that becomes a driver for the board to help increase the engagement. So, anyway. I guess I'm just looking for what other takeaways anybody had, if they agree with this, don't agree with it, think I was... delirious when I wrote this. I don't know.
Well, there's always that.
We discussed this a little bit at the retreat, but program committee would definitely have to meet more often to be able to work on something like this. And I could see programming committee being able to analyze maybe where some of the gaps are and holes are in terms of services, because we've had those discussions. The outreach might be a little more challenging in terms of, you know, what is outreach and how does that look?
What's the expectation?
Just a couple of commissioners at any one time in that meeting. I'm not sure I even understand what it means by.
Is it identifying places where outreach could occur, or having the people do it?
Well, I think it's both.
It's kind of both. Because I think we might come up with some ideas, like marketing comes up with ideas about outreach, but you know how to make that occur, translating it from a committee over to the commission. I'm not sure how that looks.
We should be finding out what we think we can do for outreach and then be able to put that into marketing if it's marketing stuff. And if it's not, then maybe something that's like a district thing that we're putting out there too.
Mm-hmm.
But coming up like with the ideas on the outreach and like what we do need to do the outreaches.
When I read this, it looks to me more like, maybe it's the way I read it, it was more like, well, what are the commissioners going to do?
Well, there's definitely an emphasis on what are the commissioners going to do, but it's, again, it's going to be dependent on what the commissioners are able to do. I mean, everybody is at a different point. Some people, you know, more than others, but I think that the what I heard at the retreat was we need to be active. You know, just like Alan and Dr. Barry were active by coming to something that really doesn't touch them that much at all. How, and it's not like every, I think that programming and outreach, and this is just me, is, you know, can work with marketing to create, you know, look at a calendar and see, oh, okay, so there's this coming up. Is this, you know, and working with staff and working with the new, you know, with Krista and trying to figure it out, because I think that it is not just our staff's responsibility, because they also need to be at the pool making sure people aren't drowning and are engaged in water sports, but the, you know, the commissioners who are voted for by the public need to, you know, as much as we possibly can, which doesn't mean, you know, I'm not talking about sacrifice, I'm talking about, you know, the ability to go out and promote this facility, which we are so passionate about, to the best of our ability. Yes, sir.
You know, this whole board and commission has had a big past history of outreach. It's kind of gone away since the district became independent and independent operations. And it's a great idea, I think, to get back to the point where we're looking at promoting that and having board participation. But along with that, I would like to encourage the board to reach out to the public to get volunteers that also want to sit on that committee that would be your messengers of swimming and the pool that would be able to do that. I'd love nothing better than to see this MPD back out doing the outreach that it used to do years ago when we were really struggling to try and get people to come to the pool.
So are you talking a little bit maybe about ambassadors?
A separate subcommittee equal to something like TPAC that TPAC can kind of interchange with if they'd like to or not, but it would be a separate standing committee of volunteers that could assist, or just ambassadors, whatever you guys come up with, but try to use. I think it's a great stepping stone at trying to keep the whole administration as a whole. Where are you going to pick up people who want to come in and get involved in the pool? Start off by giving just a little of your time in one area, you know, and see if you can't suck them in that way. But you know, encourage that interest and then as they get in, just doing, being an ambassador or another committee, whatever it turns out to be, is. It's just allowing an opportunity to solicit volunteers that might be more driven towards that type of thing too, rather than maybe volunteering one day a month at the pool or doing a particular special event.
I think that those are all great comments, and I think that, you know, it's kind of a cross discussion. It's marketing, it's, you know, but we need to, you know, make sure that we are recognizing opportunities and if they, you know, and seeing if, you know, how, if it's possible, they can be staff, commissioners, volunteers, staff, whatever. So, and that's why the programming outreach committee, I think should also be just, you know, like we're noticing everything. Just notice the meetings so that more than two commissioners are going to be there besides you two. If Jerry wants to come, or I want to come, or Vanessa wants to come, you know, and just to be heard, then
I would agree with that.
Well, no, but Richard's the king of noticing.
Well, yeah, he's the king of noticing.
He's got it down.
But I would agree. Yeah. Yeah. We should
always
see that.
One question I have is, would you be allowed to make volunteer opportunities available for all your part-time and full-time staff, you know, that regardless of their employment with the district can still come on to these administrative type committees and, you know, of their own time and effort on a volunteer basis be a part of that because they might have more than a passive interest in the pool as far as employment goes. Maybe they just want to...
We've had that discussion.
Want to have more involvement than just being an employee.
It gets dicey because of labor laws.
But
if they want to volunteer, I mean, they can. I mean, that's
so,
their right.
Yeah, because how does that work? So, because we had, I remember way back, I remember it was a question whether a lifeguard could be on TPAC or not. That was, if one of the lifeguards wanted to, that was an issue. However, you know, what Jerry is saying, and we go to the Spirit of Giving, and a lot of city employees do volunteer for that. So
I would say that the YMCA, so they do volunteer as a staff, they volunteer for events. So, like, a couple Saturdays ago, they had a 5K. All the staff were there, and they were volunteers.
It was not for labor. Okay.
And it was a requirement.
If you look at the job description for lifeguards, there's nothing in there saying that they work. I mean, yes, they can lifeguard for an event, but there's nothing saying that they can't lifeguard. I mean, they can't be there
as a non-employer.
Well, our policy manual, our employee handbook specifically states that nobody can work hours for which they are not being paid. And the reason it runs afoul of labor law, it runs afoul of labor law because of the implication of the possibility of coercion.
Well, that means
why
say that client
they
haven't been.
But if they want to volunteer.
Well, let's continue this conversation because it's certainly worthwhile. There's got to be language that we could maybe put in that says, has an exception for volunteering.
That
or
might
something.
Be something we have to.
It just
research.
As long as it's made clear and distinct that it's voluntary.
And if you sign something,
if they have to even sign a waiver for the specific activity. It would sure be nice to see, because there's kids out there that are employees of the pool as lifeguards that have interest in trying to help the pool out too, and if they want to do that on their own, of their own free will, and in a volunteer status, I don't want to overlook that. I'd like to see.
They have to
go
to school, so they're going other places to get volunteer hours because they have to.
Okay,
So I just had a question regarding this, more of a kind of committee question. Is it intended to still stay ad hoc? And it seems to me it's more commissioner led. The previous one was definitely more operational led.
Right.
Is it shifting now to commissioner led?
Which one, the programming?
The programming and outreach, because before, you see what I'm saying,
yeah,
there was definitely a distinction
saying.
Between them.
It could not be done without
staff.
With staff, this could be done without staff, so yeah, I would agree that it's not operations driven, although certainly operational partners are
critical.
Essential, right?
It certainly is
but
not.
You've got a meeting without them. One or two.
I guess that's where I just want to be really clear on.
Well, and if we made this a standing committee, what would that mean?
It's just more work.
Okay.
There's minutes and agendas that
okay.
have to be archived for.
Okay, so this can be an ad hoc committee.
Because there's no decisions going to be made at these.
No,
meetings.
These are all just recommendations.
That is correct. No decisions.
To come to bring to the board.
Recommendations to
bring to all the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main difference.
I'd say that they would be providing ideas that the board can look into, then determine whether action should be taken.
Then it becomes a board team event.
But an ideal pool committee.
I Vanessa Zappel for the record. I'd like to make a motion to repurpose the programming committee to be called Programming and Outreach Committee. With an emphasis on outreach activities and creating,
say repurpose instead of retitle?
Rename? Retitle? I'm fine. Okay, I withdraw that motion. Vanessa, for the record, I would like to make a motion to retitle Programming Committee, which is an ad hoc committee, to Programming and Outreach Committee, also an ad hoc committee.
Commissioner Shippen, second.
Discussion?
I'm very excited about this.
Okay.
How do current committee members feel?
I mean,
that without.
No, I'm just smiling because
they were fighting over the second
now.
No, I think it'll be a good thing, and I'm so excited to hear what other ideas are, especially when it is looking for outreach. It's like, you know, like ideas of like who we should be even trying to get outreach to, and then like what's the process going to be outreach to those
groups.
Okay, any more further discussion? Sure, no. Okay, so a motion has been made and seconded to rename the current ad hoc committee, programming committee to programming and marketing. Programming and outreach committee. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Time is 8:07. We're on to page 44, new business. Creating an HR, yet another ad hoc committee as a staff resource. So I don't know if you all read this. I'm going to assume you did, since that's what we all agreed on. So the recommendations are to, in the case where the staff have a dispute, grievance, or feel harassed by the president, the following is recommended at the beginning of the president's term, and in this case, since it's not the beginning, it would be now. A human resources ad hoc committee is established, comprised of two commissioners, but not include the current president. Any staff allegations of harassment, bullying, grievance, or unfair treatment on the part of the current president should be taken by the staff member to the ad hoc committee, and in the case an investigation is warranted, the ad hoc committee is to follow the guidelines of the insurer of the district.
And it keeps going.
Oh,
just two more points.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. The ad hoc committee working with the insurer may implement procedures to maintain proper records, and the ad hoc committee is charged with accepting and responding to any complaint from either of the two staff members of the Board of Commission that the Board of Commission is responsible for. The ad hoc committee will meet only upon the request of a staff member, and the ad hoc committee will follow the same guidelines as published in the Tukwila Metropolitan Park District Employee Handbook 8.1.4, which is on the back. So action is requested.
I have a question.
Okay.
Couple questions. So this is very narrow focus.
Yes.
Very, very, like this is
very narrow.
Okay, just grievances against the president.
Correct.
And all other grievances, to be perfectly clear, all other grievances against like the director of a quest operation, district administrator, would still go to the president.
That is correct.
So this is just that. And I had a little thing on this where it says the ad hoc committee will meet only upon the request. Now, obviously, they can have subsequent meetings, the initial meeting.
Yeah, okay.
They're not limited to only.
Okay, so we could change that to the initial.
Initially.
I mean, because the ad hoc committee is not going to meet if they don't have a purpose to meet.
Correct.
So initially, they would be initiated. Yes, and then they could do their own. Have their own meeting as often as they'd like.
I have a question.
Yes.
If this is passed,
yes.
Is this for the policy book or the employee handbook?
There's
or both?
Nothing. We don't have. We just have committees on. We don't actually have a.
I don't know if this would go in the employee handbook.
Oh, this part of it?
Part of it.
I see what you're saying. Sorry, I was thinking more on the committee level. I understand what you're saying.
No, just like 8.1.4.
Yes.
Question is, in the policies and procedures or the employee handbook, do you have a policy that you just tag along and say that this ad hoc?
I believe you could.
You could. You make it 8.1.4.
That's all you need.
8.1.4.
So we
dispute can resolution. I think something could be added.
Mm-hmm. So would this be 8.15?
Could be.
I don't have a handbook with me. It might be 8.1.4.3. Yeah.
Because it says you're
right.
Not satisfied, right?
Yeah, it might be 8.14.3, and then followed by whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
So it would be like step one, if the employee is a direct report to the Board of Commission, and then AKA Director of Aquatic Operations or District Administrator, the employee will, you know, must, I don't know what the language is, but it'd be pretty easy.
So I take it then that I'm to take the section starting with to address any cases and ending with point five, see attached, or no, that wouldn't apply.
So Rich, I guess I'm looking at the last paragraph of what Ellen gave us, and can't you just say, because it says, if this is the case, at the end of this, if the board president is the subject of the complaint, the TPMPD ad hoc committee will perform the actions.
Well,
is that
it's up to you to write the exact language, because I can't leave. I know you've got an issue, but
does that make sense? Because I'm looking at what it says. It says the assistant.
It does pretty much describe it.
And it says within 10, such determination is generally the final decision. And in the instance where the director of aquatics is the subject of the complaint, the TPMB board president will perform them. Mm-hmm. And then, in the instance where the board president is the subject of the complaint, the TPMPD ad hoc HR committee will perform the actions.
Yeah.
Does that seem simple?
Well, if you're going to make a motion and pass it for inclusion in the employee handbook, I would appreciate it if somebody would write out exactly what I'm supposed to insert.
No, I usually do. I will. If we get to that point, I promise we'll write it down and have it exact language.
Fine.
I promise. I'm usually good on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think that in the instance where the board president.
It seems consistent.
Is the subject of the complaint.
I like it all.
The only thing is, it's you know, the own committee can have their own procedure, what they want to do within their committee, but it doesn't have to be in here, right? Or Christine, is that an issue?
Well, the way that I read this, who's ever on the ad hoc committee will be calling the interim of the district pretty loosely split.
Yes.
What did you say, Christine?
Because you have 10 days. You have 10 days, according to this, to deal with it. So the
I didn't hear what you said. You'll be calling who? I'm sorry.
Insurer.
I read this.
Insurer?
WCIA.
Insurer. Oh.
The insurer, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't.
Or you could just say, if the is the subject of the complaint, will perform the actions consistent with the HR ad hoc procedure.
But we don't
list it. That's the problem, right?
Well, what if we just say, in the instance where the board president is the subject of the complaint, the HR ad hoc committee will perform the actions normally done, you know, by the board president.
Yeah, because that would be. But to speak to Christine's point, it still says it's got that 10 working days. Well, it's 10 working days.
Well, 10, why isn't that okay? If 10 working days is good enough for the employees, why is it not good enough for two staff?
Well, I couldn't say that. I think my concern is, say I'm on this ad hoc committee, what process am I going to follow for making sure that everyone's rights are...
So what's your concern, the 10-day limitation? Or?
No, my concern was just simply there is a complaint of harassment. The complaint needs to be in the investigating, you know, where are the forms, who does what, who do we work with to make sure that everything is done properly.
The insurer.
Yeah.
So
that's who we ultimately work with in any place.
I think, Christine, I think this is in here.
Yeah.
Because you just have to respond within 10 days. As long as you respond and say, we are following up with an investigation with the insurance company, that's the only thing you're responsible for within 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Because that would be like, for example, for a records request. You can't complete something in 5 days. You send a little message that says, I'll need this amount of time to do it. So I was more concerned with just the law, you know.
Yeah.
This happens.
So within 10 days, someone on that committee is going to have to respond and say that, you know, that WCIA is going to be contacted, if that's the
process. I don't have any objection to this idea. I would just like to have it fleshed out step by step aside from this. So... You see what I'm saying?
Be really clear.
I'm talking about a procedure, not a policy.
Yeah.
If it's not going to take effect until December anyway, there's plenty of time to work on it.
No, it would take
effect.
I think the idea is to be able to, I mean, it's true, there's a definite void in procedure, like what happens. So I think the next one would take place in December, but there just have to be something for the remainder of this year.
Yeah, I think if we're going to do this, that's fine, but we need to be on that. We need to create
a procedure. On how that's going to,
exactly how does that.
Because it's a pretty serious, when you're talking HR, that's really.
This is a media thing. I would not want to mess this thing up.
Right.
Because it's. Seems to me that generally the safe thing is to go to the WCIA and let them deal with it.
I mean, we could contact them and say, what is the procedure?
That's a policy procedure.
The ad hoc committee knows this is the procedure.
We'll do this.
So I'm more concerned about the procedure than I really am concerned about
the committee.
I'm concerned about a very bad day.
Well, I don't know that the procedure needs to be locked down tonight.
However, we can create, in theory, we could create the committee who could then work on the procedure.
Right. Yes. Excellent. Do that, because I can't be a part of it, so I'm happy
to
have you do that.
The president is not allowed to ever ask for a bully or intimidate or anything.
I think it's a good... Commissioner Frangiello, I think it's a good thing it needs to be done, but the procedure is definitely important. But I think it's important for staff to be able to know that they can talk, who they can talk to.
Yes, and
you know, have a
designee,
who they can go to.
Yeah.
Because right now, if there's a lifeguard who's having an issue with an assistant manager, and they go to the assistant manager, they go to the assistant manager and they don't find resolution. They go to the aquatics director and they don't find resolution. Their next stop is me.
Yeah.
And according to this, I can listen to what they have to say. I can decide, you know, because sometimes it's just somebody who really needs to vent. And sometimes there's some real issues which require some investigation, serious outside investigation. And that's why we have... you know, an insurer, a risk management team. So this would allow you and Richard an opportunity to have somebody to go to, because right now I don't know who you go to, who has any power to do anything.
Does this take care of also, I'm just going to throw it out there, a lifeguard who has an issue with the board president?
Well, right now it's...
If the board president is
sexually harassing a lifeguard,
then
I would think that the lifeguard would go to Michelle, and Michelle would go, wow, that's a serious, let me contact the ad hoc committee. They need to look into it.
Because I'm just saying, it's not just these two employees.
No, it's not. It's
anyone.
It's
most, yeah. It's anybody.
It's potentially.
Yes.
That's how right. I looked at it. I looked at it as the whole.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. If it's anybody who has an issue with any board member.
Correct. Yes, basically.
Yes. Defeats the whole. No, if they have an issue with any other board member.
They would vote to you.
And you're going to probably be consistent with the procedure that the ad hoc committee is going to go through, too.
Oh, is that your subtle hint? Seriously? That's subtle?
That was actually thinking aloud. Sometimes yes. I don't mean to open my mouth when I'm talking.
Yeah, maybe you really did open your mouth. It's hard
to think of what Jerry went through last year. That's why I was laughing.
You were laughing at me for what?
Oh. It's hard to think of what you went through last year.
Oh.
That's why I'm laughing.
Okay.
Can
I just make a comment?
Uh-huh.
That ad hoc is inappropriate because that means created anew every time. If you're creating a committee, it doesn't become ad hoc unless the members of that committee change every single time.
No, ad hoc, okay, so maybe I'm just confused. So my understanding when I did all the research on standing versus ad hoc just meant that it was a committee that didn't necessarily have a set schedule to meet, couldn't do any action.
No.
So I did quite a bit of research, and this was, am I not remembering this?
I don't know.
Okay. Let me take a look at the research again, because it's not a standing committee, because it's going to change every single year with the people.
Right, but not every single meeting. An ad hoc committee is convened anew of randomly chosen people every time the reason it's done that way is so that nobody is on that same committee and more than once, and in large deliberative bodies an ad hoc committee exists for a specific issue that is temporary and is going to go away. It's not that they don't have a regular meeting schedule, is that the convening of the people who are on the committee is ad hoc.
So we need to talk about a term that's not standing then. Yeah. A committee.
Why
could
it just be called committee?
Well, this seems more ad hoc though, because it only comes into
really
play
does.
When a particular
correct
thing happens. And now I don't know about the program committee though.
That's that is it. Because we call the pro, because when we had that whole discussion
it
last spring.
Ad hoc, but now I don't know that it's ad hoc.
Right.
But we had that whole, about programming committee. Why weren't we talking about that at that point, like in April, March? I just want to see what we've talked about then.
But how come it can't just be a committee?
Why can't, because it's, as long as it doesn't say standing committee. Right,
why can't it just be committee?
Okay.
HR committee.
I'm going to stop us. 824. I'm looking at the definition of ad hoc in Google. I'm coming up with something that agrees with Vanessa. I am not a parliamentarian expert. I don't think that we need to continue the discussion on this right now. I think we need to, this is a committee. It is a committee for a specific time period, actually, and a purpose. So let's just call it a committee right now until we all agree on the definition of ad hoc. Not a standing committee, and we're not going to do agendas. So can I get a motion? Vanessa, stop reading.
Commissioner Frangelo Anderson makes a motion to create an HR committee as a staff resource.
We need to have a motion for this.
Second one, yes.
Okay. All right, so Commissioner Frangelo Anderson made a motion to establish a committee, an HR committee, that would become effective immediately.
Correct.
Through
the end of 2018.
Okay. Somebody want to second that?
Did you get that good enough, Richard? Because I didn't write it
down. Jerry moves to create an HR committee as a staff resource through the end of 2018.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody want to second that?
Commissioner Shipman seconds.
All right. Discussion? It's like pulling teeth with
you
guys.
If it's immediately, then y'all need to tell us who the people are.
Then we're going
we'll to
that.
We'll get to that.
No, we're going to just leave it random.
It's
going to
be the
yeah. Okay, so Commissioner Shipman has seconded the motion. Do we have any discussion, any further discussion? No, okay.
So we do need to amend it so that we are putting the amendment of having the committee available in the blank handbook.
Well, no, that's the next
one. When the second or the third one coming?
Okay, all right, so we're gonna vote on this, on creating a committee, starting immediately through the end of 2018, HR committee. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? None. Great. It's 8:26. Our next thing that we need a motion on is establishing the membership of the committee, or
how can I do? Can I do this?
Can you read that, Vanessa?
No, I'm trying to find, trying to make sure that this is the right number for the employee handbook.
Okay. So we can. Would anybody like to volunteer to be on that ad hoc or committee, which only meets when called upon, and to establish a procedure?
I'd be happy to volunteer.
Thank you. I need one more volunteer.
I'll do it.
All right. Do we have to vote on that? Yes.
Oh, actually, you don't have to. If people want to, right, Richard? You don't have to vote on them if they both agree to it.
Well.
Yes. No. Maybe.
The board should approve their acceptance of them as volunteers.
I make a motion to accept Jerry, Commissioner Anderson, and Commissioner Newford to be the committee members for the newly created HR committee.
And Commissioner Gengler second that. I think the president can second a motion that she's not involved.
Absolutely.
Yep.
All right. Discussion?
Actually, you are involved in a sense.
Discussion on the motion? All right, seeing none.
She went beside that gavel there, Christine.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Excellent. 8:28. Now we're going to talk about verbiage for the employee handbook.
I'd like to make, Commissioner Zaftel, I'd like to make a motion to amend the employee handbook, section 8.14.2.4 at the end of the paragraph to add, in the instance where the board president is the subject of the complaint, the TPMPD HR committee will perform the actions normally done by the director of aquatic operations or the district administrator.
Wait, no.
No?
No, the board president.
So in the instance where the board president is the subject of the complaint, the TPMPD HR committee will perform the actions normally done by the board president. Sorry, I withdraw it. I will redo it. New motion.
Just real quickly before you go into another motion so we don't do it. You do see that we have 8.14.3 here, and are you adding it underneath here, or are you adding it under the 14.3? Because it seems, I don't know, the verbiage numbering is wrong.
Yeah, so this is wrong here. I'm going by this one here.
Okay.
The outer bullet, not the inner bullet.
So then this 8.14.3 needs to be removed, because it's...
The remedy sought by the employee to solve resolve the dispute.
So you're adding it after that?
Actually, what should happen is that 8.1.4.2, all those point two should be indented more. The 8.14.3 needs to come out, and this still is just included in 8.14.
That's what I thought too. So
those others. The 8.14.21, 22, 23, 24, those need to be indented.
Yeah, that needs to go in.
Which these
and then
are.
So
because
this becomes,
they
I see.
They are responding
I see.
To 8.
That goes out. So Richard, I'll make a note to that. So these, I see what you're saying. So these all go in. This is all together. This is one chunk here that
this
needs to
government.
Be indented.
Okay. Oh, that's what the
so
problem
that,
is.
There we go.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. I will send you specific. It's a formatting thing for the rest. So I withdraw my motion. I say, and I'd like Commissioner Zaffel makes a motion to amend the employee handbook section 8.14.3.
Right.
At the end of that paragraph to add, In the instance where the board president is the subject of the complaint, the TPMPD HR committee will perform the actions normally done by the board president.
I seconded that again.
And you'll forward me that exact line.
I forwarded it and the information on the indent.
Discussion?
Yeah.
Seeing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Yay. 8:37. All right. Miscellaneous. I have some miscellaneous.
I have miscellaneous.
Okay, well, I'm going to go first.
All right.
I have miscellaneous.
Okay.
So do I.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Vanessa, could you address... I need to take a short break for a second. So could you address this and Dave Pookie's and mine is...
Aaron needs to, not me. He's the clerk.
Needs to what?
Okay. You're going to take a break.
No, because you know the information on that. So please take the...
So miscellaneous, this resolution. So Richard, I'm curious. There's an
informational memo with it.
Right. I read it very quickly, and you made a comment that, or I heard maybe that Brian said we had to do a resolution?
He sent me an email that I forwarded to you and Ellen this afternoon.
Okay, I haven't seen that yet.
It says that a resolution has to be passed in order for the board to...
Increase?
For the increase that was adopted by OFM to take effect July 1st,
okay.
that the resolution has to adopt that increase for the commissioners to take effect on July 1st.
So the fact that our initial resolution stated that it was in accordance with the, it doesn't matter that we're doing it in accordance with it, it doesn't follow it naturally? Did Brian say?
I never saw a previous resolution.
Yeah, no, it's in our policies, yeah. Under our resolutions. So you go to our resolutions, and we have a resolution that deals with it. But I'm curious.
Can you tell me what the number of that is?
Jerry, do you have it up? I've already, no, okay, no. See if I can find it again.
Sorry, I don't.
No, I can get it.
Only because my phone's...
But basically it says that it's the commissioner compensation one. Let me find it again. It was...
And it's following the RCW.
Yeah, it just follows the RCW.
But the RCW is not where the rate increase takes effect.
Well, but the RCW specifically ties it to the increase per the office of OFM.
Right.
So within the RCW, it says that. Let me just pull it up.
Well, I'm just going on what Brian said.
No, let me, it kind of is last minute. So let me just pull this up and see what the compensation. So it's 2016-06 is the compensation for commissioners. It's on the district webpage. And so this is the, be it resolved. But let me read Brian's deal really quickly and see if that's, because he clearly sent it for a purpose. And you did, it was unsolicited, right?
Right.
Okay, so if Brian did it unsolicited, apparently there's an email for us. Okay. As I just spoke with Bob Baker, who said the new rate. Okay, good. Where's Brian's?
At the bottom.
So what? We actually, so I'm looking at your email, and that's a little different than this one. The team authorizes such as discretionary with the board. Yeah, under RCW, blah, blah, the per diem authorized by statute is discretionary with the board. The board may provide for payment of the per diem up to the statutory rate. The board should then set the rate by adopting a resolution, which we have already done previously. So by adopting resolution, the final comment in my email below remains intact. Each individual commissioner has the right to waive all or part of their per diem, provided that such waiver is made in writing in advance of the time. So we have done we have done a resolution in the past that was intended to put through. I did kind of look at that resolution again just now, and it could maybe have clearer language in it, but it wouldn't be a new resolution. We have adopted a resolution that says the intention was that it's not supposed to be changed because we right. say commissioner shall be compensated per RCW 36.61.150 for each day or portion of a day in actual attendance of the official board meetings, including appropriate work retreat. So Brian's correct where you have to have a resolution to authorize it. But I'm not seeing in Brian's email, I'm doing this very quickly, I'm sorry everyone.
Well,
he's saying you have, and that's what he told us initially when we went through this whole thing on the initial go through, was that you have to have a resolution authorizing it. That's why we created that resolution. But it doesn't say you need to, I'm not reading right here that he's simply saying it just has to, the per diem authorized by the statute is discretionary with the board, which just means you can choose.
What was the RCW you cited?
36.51.150 is what he's got.
That's wrong. It's 35.61150.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've got in ours. Let me just see. That's the one we have. We have 35.61.150 in our resolution.
That's correct.
Okay, so we're in agreement there. Seems that what Brian is basically saying, though, is that it's discretionary with the board. You can provide payment, and the board should say at the rate, you have to adopt a resolution to do so. And that's what the same advice he gave us back in when we became commissioners.
Right.
So that's consistent. It has to be done by resolution, so we've already done it. I think in the future it may be worth, we might be looking at that resolution again, because that's what sets which meetings are covered and retreats and stuff. At that point, it might make sense to make it super, super clear, like up to the maximum, or not up to, or at the maximum rate allowable, or something like that at that point. At this point, I think there is a resolution there. Does that make sense?
Sure. If it's already been done, never mind. But
no, thank you for doing that.
He was like, I just need to say that Richard was like on top of it.
Good.
I mean, today I came into the, I just dropped by to get my packet, and he was like, do you want a resolution for the, and I'm like, well, first we have to figure out how much it is, which Richard did.
Yay.
And then he, then magically, as if by magic, it appeared. So thank you. That was a great initiative. I'm sorry that I wasn't more informed about the fact that our original had the language to say, to cover any,
well,
to avoid the work. So there we go.
Jennifer filed, her file naming conventions were pretty erratic. And, you know, most of the resolutions just are resolution and then the number without any explanation
what
it is.
What I would suggest, Richard, is looking at the website rather than your filing, because the website's really clear.
That's where I find it.
Yeah, website, you just go by year, and it's super easy to find all of that.
With the titles of them?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, so I went to it and it said commissioner compensation.
Yeah.
All right,
on it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So that's where I go for all my policies. I just don't want our website to ever go down because that's my access for so many
mm-hmm.
things. But
right.
policy, go to policy. If anyone's worried, wondering if we have a policy for something, just go to our website under policies or contracts or.
Okay.
Sorry, is there something else?
So we don't have to do anything.
I think we're good.
Okay.
For now.
Thank you.
So we were on miscellaneous. Dave Pookie had a miscellaneous. I'd like to hear that.
I can wait till last.
Jerry.
You can wait for last. Jerry?
Sure.
Go.
I'm going. I'm just going to reiterate again that it's in the minutes, which is great, that I liked the old days when we would get weekly reports.
Okay,
and I like the weekly reports we did get.
I loved the ones when we got them from Michelle and Richard. And that's my miscellaneous.
I appreciate that. Richard gives me a report, and I will. Richard, could you make sure that you just forward all the commissioners the thing you give to me every week?
The completed jobs list or the task list?
Task list, the task list.
Sure.
So that way they'll all see
it. It's an Excel spreadsheet.
I thought it was a Word document.
No, it's an Excel spreadsheet that lists upcoming tasks
on a Michelle,
rotating basis.
We can reach
trying
that.
To do
Thank you.
Weekly reports. Can we please?
I'm putting a note to remind me every single week because I have a hard time remembering to report.
It does not have to be. These are not narratives.
Not narratives.
We're not looking for stories. We're looking for bullets.
And it could be nothing happened this week. Thank you.
Okay. All right. My miscellaneous is kind of just a reminder because I think it's going to need to go on the next agenda. And my miscellaneous was, I think we need to talk about a cell phone for the Director of Aquatics Operations. Mm. Why are you looking?
No, I'm just saying, take a look at what Des Moines does.
No, Michelle sent me what Des Moines does. They do a Google phone. Yes. So I'll put some information together for the next meeting. We'll talk about it. But I just wanted to bring it up because I think it's important. And I'd also just like to let everybody know, just as an FYI, that Michelle sent out through where we work or when we work or how we work, whatever it is, a memo to the staff reminding them of courtesy and only calling when at appropriate times, like 1
hours.
In the morning, not appropriate.
3 in the morning.
Not appropriate.
Yeah, and not. So we're working on boundaries for the staff, right? Boundaries, that's our key word.
And mom needs to say no.
And so I think that that the cell phone is working well.
Yeah, because I have to keep my phone on because of fire, burglars. Most likely, 99% of the time, it was like 4-year-old. I'm trying to get him to go back to sleep. I'm trying to get myself to go back to sleep. And it's really, really, really frustrating.
Right, and it's not play.
Wait till our first earthquake.
Please don't scare her. Okay,
that's
great. So, anybody else have any miscellaneous? Christine has some miscellaneous. You're asking about the staff.
The staff isn't having audio.
They're on the website.
Are they analog?
I don't think.
Yeah. Well,
not backlog, but they started as of the last.
Okay, so, but Christine probably doesn't know how to access it. It's not drop down menus yet, is it?
No, it's not. Richard has brought it to my attention that it's not exactly easy to access at this point.
Okay.
But they are up there.
Okay.
They're under board.
One.
There's, yes, sir.
One. Just one.
Just
one. One. And this one will be 2.
Okay.
When it goes up.
Okay.
And then we're in the process of, Ivan has volunteered and is working on a new website. And when all that gets moved over, and I mean, even before that, if, you know, if time permits, you can start uploading the older ones. But we're current.
Well, yes or no, do you want me to do that?
We'll talk about it on Wednesday. I mean, we do need to do it, but we need to prioritize it.
All right.
I'm mostly just concerned if we're going to go to those really minimalist minutes.
Yes.
That the public will easily
and
access
so,
space. So
Richard, is
that's
it?
All I'm checking out the status.
So Christine and everyone here knows how to access it. You have to go up on the search log and just type in audio.
Correct.
The search, like if you go to MPD's website, there's a little search seal at the top, and you put audio in. Is that correct? And then you can get to that page.
Okay. So my only comment would be, I can certainly do this now that you've told me how to do it, but somebody who's not at a meeting should be able to know how to do it.
And
so.
I think the new website, that was going to be addressed.
Yeah.
It's just one of those technical things right now.
So.
Well, isn't it that you want to coordinate the graphics for that page and how the audio links are presented and stuff like that?
Well, eventually. I need to look at it, Christine. I really haven't had time. I can do a little bullet on the front page that, you know, says audio meeting, so people want to listen on it. And then when we have the new website, we'll try to make it organized like Richard, like we want to.
Is there a timeline?
It's a volunteer project. He's doing it on his own time.
Sure.
So no.
That's why I'm asking. Yeah, would he?
No. I mean, he's working on it, and he actually, so.
He's running into a couple of problems, but he's still.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my thing on Halloween.
Do you want to have another one here?
I feel like if I did it, but no.
I actually.
Okay,
Vanessa. And so this is just a clarification, just because there's been some questions one way or the other. My understanding was the district administrator's role was to draft and write all the policies and go and get the information from whomever they need to, but basically the drafting of it lies with the district administrator. Am I clear? Is that in the job description, it says to help the board develop policies. We obviously pass them, but the actual writing it down, where now obviously a district administrator is going to have to go get information, whether it be from the district, from the director of aquatics or from the bookkeeper or board members, whomever, but the actual drafting of it lies with the district administrator.
I mean my impression is that that's true, except for like in a case like tonight where we ended up drafting information for the employee handbook. I mean, that doesn't make sense to just like
I'm more saying if there's like an agenda item was like a creation of a policy or a total rewrite of a policy, like when in the finance committee Richard's the one who redrafts
the 535 that we did tonight.
Right.
Okay. That's my understanding. Does anybody have any different understanding? Is that your understanding, Richard?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay. Is it time for Dave, or does anybody else have a miscellaneous they'd like to put in?
Aaron.
No. All right.
I have three items. First of all, I had surgery a week ago to repair my lower back, and I'm on the mend. So here's an announcement. You know, in fact, I'm just able to sit here very comfortably. It's a good thing. Means that in the future, the technical and mechanical resource and volunteer effort that I've been able to do in the past should be getting back to more of a substantial nature. So, you know, a lot of the issues that are confronting the district in regards to maintenance and repair, and all, we'll be able to do that, hopefully. But it's going to be a good month, or we'll see. We're going to go case by case. So
please take your time. Don't worry.
Re-injury is not something I want to go through. Anyway, the second thing is that, as you see on the whiteboard over there, that the sewer district open house is July 12th, and I've gotten my flyer in the mail. And in our last meeting, we were talking about putting together a booth in here to do outreach to the community during the thing. I haven't heard anything about that, and I volunteered to help staff that endeavor.
That's great.
Want to make sure that you know that I will be available for that event, and we will be able to move forward.
We
just
hear.
Need to coordinate the activities that we want to do and how we want to do it, and get ready to go, because that's coming up.
So the new assistant manager, Kristen, she's going to be attending that event, and she's going to be contacting you. She'll be here with you.
My new lifesavers. And then the third thing, because we're running late, is that this district has, over the years since we all worked together for the most part to save the pool from closing, and we put a list of bullets of what our expectations and goals and objectives are going to be in the future. And at this point, we've accomplished all those objectives, goals, and things to the point to where we talk about the activities at the pool in great nature. And thus, this summer, as I've been going through my medical endeavors, I found the opportunity to promote the pool to folks that are telling me stories about the pools they use versus our pool and how outstanding our pool is. So it's thanks to the dedication and support of everybody here. to the point that that needs to be realized as an accomplishment, and it needs to be properly documented for folks. So I don't know if we have a history and legacy portion of our website that kind of spells the road that we and pathways that we've had to take to get to this point, but I would like to see that there is one there, so that when people that we go out in the community and have open discussions about the facility and the greatness of what we've accomplished, get the opportunity to go look at a site and read about it, and then maybe they'll bring their families to it. And that's just envisioning for the future what we can be, to the point that at some point near term, we need to start addressing the concerns of a replacement facility and what it needs to be and what it should look like, so that we can look down the road 50 years into the future, so we can assure that swimming will always be available for everybody in this general community and the surrounding area. It's heartfelt to me, and the fact that I haven't been able to swim for the last week has been pretty rough.
Thank you.
We have that in this school. Can't wait to find out.
Should we take that's an excellent long? Idea. I like that legacy idea. I can't believe that we haven't already thought of it.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
To know about
thank
our
you,
accomplishments
yeah.
And,
yeah.
and that's because
going forward,
knowing how important it is for us to have it forever, because that's why we all got into this, is so it didn't die.
Right.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave, do you want me to take you to the water park?
Mm-hmm.
The little squirt park until you can go swimming?
I don't know. I think that'd be dangerous. That could be slick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's very... Yeah.
I'm done.
Okay. All right. Well, it is 8:53, and I'm calling. I'm looking for a motion.
Commissioner Zappel, motion to adjourn.
That one, you always get that one really quick.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Adjourned. Thank you. Thank you very much, Dave.